using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Branson went up and got his wings the week before. The FAA decided that they would change the rules because for the first time in 17 years, they've updated this just for Jeff Bezos. Isn't that special? And it used to be that if you got above 50 miles high, you could join the 50-mile high club and you could get your astronaut wings. But they did not let Jeff Bezos into the club. And, you know, the interesting thing about it was when you look at the Branson flight, and I pointed out it was kind of a cheat. It was really kind of the level that the space program was at in 1960, or maybe even the late 1950s. I remember around 1960, 61, they were sending up the X-15. They would carry it up so it didn't have to blast off from the ground. That's a big part of it. But they would carry it up as high as they could go with an airplane, drop it, and then it would go the rest of the way. And it would skirt right above that 50-mile limit. And so they said, let's see, we got into space, did the same thing that Branson did. So he repeated what had been done 60 years ago. Big accomplishment. And Jeff Bezos had his 11-minute flight that got up a little bit higher than Branson did, but he doesn't get his wings. They're going to reserve this. Listen, they changed it so that it has to be any activities during the flight in order to get your wings. You have to go above 50 miles, and you have to be engaged in activities during the flight that are, quote, essential to public safety. He could have played an announcement about fastening your seatbelts, or if this crashes, make sure that you get the because we're over water, you know, it's a watery blue planet. So make sure you get your life jacket on if things start to go bad on the spaceship. Or space flight safety. So it could have been essential to public safety or space flight safety. So everything is about safety anymore. And since he didn't do safety, and he forgot to put airbags in the in his rocket ship, he gets no stars from the people that I guess that count. And it was just a week before, as I said, that Branson got it. And now they're going to make it only the two pilots could qualify. And they've got to do stuff that's all about safety. Everything is about safety. That's why you had a plane flight in San Francisco that was delayed for 3 hours as everybody on board freaked out. What was the issue? Well, they had Apple AirDrop, where you can wirelessly transmit stuff to other phones. And they had a kid, a teenager, who sent people a picture of an airsoft gun. Not even a picture of a real gun. He sent a picture of an airsoft gun. And when he sent this to several passengers on board the plane, they freaked out. And the pilot freaked out. And the crew freaked out. This is where we are, folks. a picture of an airsoft gun, texted to somebody, and I guess now we're going to have TSA look at our phones before we're allowed to get into the airport and see if we have any photos of guns, because we have a public that just can't handle that. It's just too scary. And this is why we're still walking around with masks, being threatened with vaccine coercion. And a radio host, Christopher Beal, got onto Twitter and wet his pants. He said, my mom's flight out of San Francisco was held up on the tarmac because somebody was airdropping inappropriate pictures to several passengers. Why are people like this? Why are people like this, radio host Christopher Beal and his mother and the pilots and the United people, that they would freak out over pictures of an airsoft gun? But law enforcement officials have been notified, and they said, our teams are working to review the matter. 3-hour delay for that. Meanwhile, in the Czech Republic, it's been reported that they have put in their own Second Amendment into law. The devil, however, is in the details. And certainly, I applaud the effort to try to respect the right of self-defense. But the question is, does this? The Senate, the upper house of the Czech parliament, has approved the right to use arms to defend oneself and others under legal conditions, to be embedded in the Constitution. So it's a constitutional amendment that says nothing, really. Because you understand that if, and this is what it says, the right to defend one's life or the life of another person, even with the use of a weapon, is guaranteed under conditions set by law. If you are going to make self-defense conditional to things that politicians say, it's not a right, it's a privilege granted by government. Our Constitution does not grant us any privileges. What it does is it prohibits the government from infringing, even on the edges, doing anything at all to regulate our fundamental God-given human rights that we all have because we're created in the image of God. That's a very different approach. And we need to not get excited about something like this. And we need to make sure that we understand clearly the distinction between rights and privileges. A right is something that you do not infringe upon. And, of course, we've had a lot of infringement on it, and we're going to have a lot more because Biden has been very, very active in terms of appointing judges. Do you remember when we had Trump and how he was off the rails in terms of everything that he said he was going to do? Remember how he did everything even before the lockdown of 2020? Pretty much everything that he did was exactly what the globalists wanted. They hated him because it was all personal. But he basically gave them what they wanted, and issue after issue. He pretended to be on our side. He pretended to be on the side of the issues that he had campaigned on. But the reality was, as people come back, they said, well, you know, whatever. He's playing 4D chess, and look at all of the judges that he's appointed. This is great. This is a big victory. Well, Biden, in the first 6 months, has appointed twice the number of judges that Trump did. Trump and George W. Bush had appointed 4 judges the first 6 months. Biden has done 8. And for reference, in the first 6 months, there were 0 judges appointed by Obama as well as Reagan. And that Bush who appointed the 4 was George H.W. Bush. So George W. Bush, Reagan, and Obama had not appointed any judges in the first 6 months. 4 for Trump and George the first, and 8 for Biden. Packing the judicial system. How's that going to work out for us? Well, we have in Mississippi a very strong law to protect life of babies from being aborted. Unfortunately, the Attorney General there is begging the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade and any other case law, Roe and Casey, because they believe in judicial supremacy. And if you believe in judicial supremacy, then we're going to be pulled back and forth by whoever can run through the most federal judges at any given point in time. And it is always very unpredictable for conservatives because they're pulling from a pool, again, that is not going to produce, for the most part, conservative judges. It'll be rare if you can find one out of the pool that you're allowed to search into. So in this particular case, they're arguing, the attorney general from Mississippi, and this is a new right to life case that would block early abortions earlier than the Supreme Court said. You know, the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, said you cannot have any state laws that would prohibit the abortion of babies earlier than a time that they arbitrarily picked, back in 1973. So he says, he gives a couple of reasons why it should be overturned. He said, well, why a right to privacy does not protect a constitutional right to abortion. And of course, we don't even need to read his argument there, because when we have the former CEO of Planned Parenthood, Dr. Leanna Wen, prattling on about how we all have to be forced to take a vaccine, how we have to not give anybody any carrots, only sticks. When you look at that, how anti-choice she is, when you look at the fact that the government is spying on everything that we do with every kind of agency, I mean, post office, you name it, everybody is spying on us. What does a right to privacy mean anymore? What does my body, my choice mean anymore? Because a baby is not your body. It's a separate entity. It has, half the time, a different sex and gender. They're the same thing. And it has frequently a different blood type than the mother does. And on. It is a different body that you're talking about. But now, these people who have said, my body, my choice, they don't care about your body, your choice. And I've called them out on this fraud for the longest time. I said, look at this. They don't care about your choice about health care for your children. It was always these pro-abortion people that were pushing vaccine mandates for kids to get into school back in 2018, 2019, when Trump said, hey, they got to get the shots. He didn't care either. He didn't support life. He didn't support your choice, parental choice. So they never were about pro-choice. They always wanted to dictate everything to you. And, of course, they don't care about your privacy. They don't care about your free speech, any of this stuff. It's a total fraud. The right to privacy as a right to kill a baby, that was never there was never a logical connection to it, but now the hypocrisy has just become a stench. Why Roe and Casey do not provide persuasive support for a viability rule. The bottom line, they said, no matter what the state learns about fetal pain, about when unborn life takes on the human form, about a woman's health, or about what effect performing abortions has on doctors, the state cannot fully act on that knowledge before viability. They also said there's been a lot of scientific advancements that have occurred since 1973. Time, quote, has overtaken some of Roe's factual assumptions, including abortion risks and the timing of viability. Advances in neonatal and medical science now show that an unborn child has taken on human form in all relevant respects by 12 weeks gestation. And then finally, he gets into the issue of stare decisis, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's a Latin term. I didn't take Latin, so I'm guessing here. Nevertheless, that is the precedence. You know, do we have to keep this because it is a precedent? And he tries to make an argument, no, but I'm telling you that that is why they will not touch it. And it's why Coney Barrett said she wasn't going to touch it either. Because it is, as I've said many times, it is as important to judicial supremacy as Marbury versus Madison, where they gave themselves the right to review everything that anybody did or any laws that were passed based on whether or not it was constitutional, they could overthrow laws. And so it is just as important as that, because it has allowed them to claim that they write law. With Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court was able to take over the judicial branch in one fell swoop. It became the law of the land. They could decide that. They could decide and make it the law of the land, something that the federal government, not even the Supreme Court, but the entire federal government has no authority over. And that is deciding when life begins, or deciding the definition of marriage, or on and on and on. And we're going to see them come in, and I can imagine that they will support mandatory abortions, given a little bit more time, given a little bit more pressure and propaganda. because what they're going to do is reflect the establishment consensus and the consensus of the country. So it's all about their power, and that is really the key issue here. Pelosi, meanwhile, says that having five kids was great for her, but poor women need to have taxpayer-funded abortion. That's a headline from the Daily Caller. She says, as a devout Catholic and mother of five in 6 years, so here she is trying to inoculate herself, so to speak. We're talking about inoculations. Inoculate herself against the obvious hypocrisy of saying that she is a Catholic and then supporting murder of children. She says, as a devout Catholic mother of five in 6 years, I feel that God blessed my husband and me with our beautiful family, five children in 6 years almost to the day, but it's not up to me to dictate that that's what other people should. And it's an issue of fairness and justice for poor women in our country. So there you go. See, it's fine for rich people like her because she can do insider trading on Amazon and you name it. The industries and the companies that she regulates, she and her husband can trade in advance on that, and they can make themselves multimillionaires. So, hey, that's fine. I can have all the kids I want. But, you know, poor kids, poor women, they shouldn't have children. Because children are only a blessing to the rich, you see. That's what Nancy Pelosi and Planned Parenthood have been telling us. Children are only a blessing if you're rich. Now, let me tell you something. The worth of a child is not dependent on your net worth. They have a worth that is far greater than that. And we don't value life as much as we value money, do we? I've referred to this many times. It is the ancient lie, and it used to be a part of what were regular ceremonies in the pagan world throughout the area that Israel occupied, and in that area where the Canaanites were, and also down into the northern part of Africa. What they would do is they had two festivals that they would do. One of them was Moloch, and they would worship prosperity. As part of that, they would sacrifice their kids. They'd heat up the idol really hot, and then they'd put their kids on the outstretched arms of Moloch as a sacrifice. And that was supposed to bring them prosperity. Same thing we're doing now. And, of course, it was preceded by the festival where they worshipped Ashtaroth, the female goddess of fertility as well as promiscuity. And so they would wind up with a lot of unwanted pregnancies, and so a few months later they could set up that thing. And that's exactly what we have fallen into. You wonder why these things persist over millennia. This is a conspiracy that far exceeds anything that is coming from Bilderberg or the Club of Rome or the Rockefellers or any of that. The power behind them is working on eliminating mankind, especially our children, and that's what the Democrat Party represents. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
All right, and I just want to say that if you go to APS, there is also a link. At the upper right-hand corner, there's a link. The words read, APS Radio News, listen here. And that is where you can find the program on APS Radio. If you go to aftermath.fm, you will see the program live as it is running. And, of course, they also have an app. So there's a number of ways that you can listen to an audio feed. And we have the video feed going live on DLive as well as Trovo. So welcome to all the people who are listening live. If you don't catch the program live, you can always download the full show in audio format with podcasts, and we have that on all the different major platforms. It gets hosted from Podbean and from Spreaker, so you can go there directly if you wish, and they've got apps as well. And, of course, we have the full show as well as clips that you'll see up on four different video platforms. We have BitChute, YouTube, Rumble, as well as Odyssey. And you may need to follow the links, especially to get to Rumble. I think the other ones are set up under The David Knight Show. We've not been able to wrest the name The David Knight Show from InfoWars, so they've still got control of Rumble. It's been a real struggle to get my name back from them. But, you know, there's worse things. You can have a significant problem for your life just to be associated with InfoWars. So I guess that's one part of losing your name. Anyway, let's take a look at what's going on with the Olympics, the very limp Olympics. And, of course, what happened as it began, many people talking about the women's soccer team. I loved what the Babylon Bee said. I think that was the best dig. You got other people saying it was disgraceful, it was ungrateful. I think the best comment on all of this was to say that they're going to replace the women's soccer team with a 15-year-old boys' soccer team wearing pink wigs. because it was literally the 15-year-old boys did beat this elite team of professional women's soccer. And everybody else is beating them as well. So to get rid of all of that, because you saw the pictures of everybody in the team except for two on their knee, thumbing their nose at the country that paid for them to go, that they're supposed to represent. So the solution to that is to ban any pictures on social media of athletes taking a knee, because that is a solution to every government problem. You just ban discussion of it. We see that everywhere. And they failed to get a medal. The opening of the Summer Olympics on the first day, first time that's happened in decades. As Breitbart pointed out, there was a stretch from 1960, 64, 68, and 72 Summer Games when the U.S. did not medal on the first day. But other than that, they have gotten a medal every day, opening day ceremonies. Opening day of competition, they've earned a medal going all the way back to 1932. So except for that stretch, we are in a new territory here. And I say we. I don't really care what happens at the Olympics. I wish we would just shut the thing down. I don't think that would get any money at all. And then you had the Drudge Report. Finally, on Sunday, you had the swim team get six medals. So let's just talk about that. Forget what happened with the soccer team. But let's not forget the cost behind this. Again, it bothers me to no end to see billionaires getting subsidized for these football and baseball, basketball stadiums. Taxpayer money, local and state taxpayer money going into these football teams. It also bothers me to see the Olympic Games and how heavily they are funded. And here's an example. This is from Zero Hedge, and it was put together by Statistica. They show how much money has been spent on these Olympics. And if we go back, and it goes back to 1992, it was extremely out of line for the Barcelona Games. They spent almost $10 billion. But most of them, after that, there was a stretch there going from 1994 to 2010, where for the most part, it was about $2 billion that they spent each year. And you had a couple of exceptions, a couple of years where they spent 6.8 in Beijing and so forth. But then it jumped in 2012. With the London Olympics, it jumped up to $15 billion. And we've had $15 billion, then $22 billion at Sochi, and then the Rio de Janeiro. They had 13.7 and so forth. The Tokyo is at $28 billion. $28 billion. Way out of line. And this is not the Babylon Bee. This actually happened on South Korean television. As the different teams were coming out from various countries, they decided that they would put up kind of mascots or something associated with a country. So when Romania came out, they put up a picture of Dracula. And when it was Italy, they put up pizza. And when it was Ukraine, they put up a picture of Chernobyl. that's great. In Norway, they put up a salmon. Yeah, something is very fishy about all this stuff. But I think there could be a solution for this. As Babylon Bee points out, unemployment is up 800% among ethnic mascots. Show the picture of this, Travis. The new unemployment numbers are out, and they're pretty discouraging among ethnic mascots of baseball teams and corporate brands. Unemployment has skyrocketed 800% in the past year. If you see that picture there, you got a poo, you got a picture of Aunt Jemima's pancake syrup, and you've got Uncle Ben's rice, and on and on. Land O'Lakes girl. There's troubling signs for the BIPOC mascot community, said an economist. We had made so much progress with mascots of all ethnicities being welcomed by the American public, but now it seems that they're being fired at record rates, with the mascots and the brand icons being replaced by genderless, white, inoffensive mascots, or else by nothing at all. Now, I would imagine that all the jobs, ironically, are going to be going to the Fighting Whitey. That was that icon that was created by some Native American tribe, Indian tribe, a few years ago. Said, see, how do you like it if we put a Fighting Whitey on T-shirts? And everybody loved it, especially the Whiteys. They sold like Aunt Jemima pancakes. Anyway, according to one source, the Land O'Lakes Native American girl, once a shining star of the margarine world, has been reduced to asking for change outside a Whataburger in Texas. Yeah, me and Apu here, we're taking turns working the corner, she said, munching on some fries that a compassionate customer had given her. It ain't much, but it pays the bills. Well, actually, it doesn't. But I don't have many bills because I'm homeless now. Chief Wahoo, formerly of the Cleveland Indians, managed to find work singing old Sinatra tunes for tips at a local casino because, you know, the Cleveland Indians have just changed their name to the Cleveland Guardians, whatever that is. Guardians of the Universe? I don't know. They've got a lot of characters to choose from there. And then finally, at the Olympics, this may be what we're looking at in the future, since you have so many of these diseased athletes that are coming to Tokyo, and you've got people outside of the stadium wanting them to just go away. This is going to be a super spreader event. You got a couple of them who had COVID, and their immune systems have given them immunity, so they didn't want to get the vaccine. But they're not happy with that. They want these dirty humans to go away. So this may be the future here, as we see a robot playing basketball at the Olympics. See if you can pull that up there, Travis. Yeah, look at that thing. And it takes quite a while for it to take a shot, but when it takes a shot, it can sink it pretty easily all the way from mid-court. It's pretty amazing what this thing can do. So that may be the future. Because, you know, we're going to have race cars that are driverless and motorless. Well, they'll have electric motor. They won't have an engine, I should say. Engineless. We can just kind of, have spectator sports that don't include any humans, even playing it. So that's, I guess, the future for us all. Let's take a quick look at what is happening with the vaccines on this day 499. And, of course, they're not vaccines. They are Trump shots. And we have a radio host, Phil Valentine. I've never heard of Phil Valentine. He's got a radio show in Nashville. And 62. They said he was an outspoken vaccine skeptic, and all of the mainstream media is running this because this is a guy who was skeptical of vaccines, but now they say he's got COVID, and he is in very severe critical condition with respiratory illness. The first thing they say is that he's had remdesivir injections. And when I see that, That tells me, first of all, he doesn't know anything that he's been talking about for the last year. This is a radio host who is a vaccine skeptic, but he doesn't know anything at all. He's taking remdesivir like Trump did. This is something that's pushed by Fauci. Maybe if you do your research as a radio host, if you're going to try to lead people, inform people, you know, you can't lead if you don't read, is the old axiom. So maybe you should educate yourself first before you start talking to people. And if he had educated himself, then he would know, first of all, that remdesivir is nothing but a fundraising scheme for Fauci's crony capitalist big pharma people. It's been proven in study after study both before and then after he sold billions of dollars to be ineffective. It also has severe side effects for the liver. I was skeptical as to whether or not Trump had actually received the shot until they quietly mentioned, not the shot, but remdesivir, until they quietly mentioned that they were monitoring his liver for issues. It's like, oh, okay. So he did get the remdesivir because they're concerned about liver damage. This guy doesn't know that either, evidently. But he's not in as bad a situation as the 80-year-old who was on a ventilator, intubated, up in New York. And that was covered by the local press because it was a lawsuit. And I'll mention that again real quickly. This is somebody who was 80 or 81 years old, and she was about to die. She was intubated on a ventilator. Her family asked the staff there, can we give her some ivermectin? And they said, all right, fine, we'll let her have it. In a couple of days, she's sitting up in bed. She's doing really well. They want to continue putting her on ivermectin. They couldn't believe it. They said, well, this is miraculous. We've never seen this happen to anybody before. And they wanted to continue giving her that, but then the hospital got involved and said no, because hospitals will end the hospital association, the privileges for the doctors, big part of their income. They'll kick them out if they do anything like prescribe ivermectin, because they're making too much money killing people. And so the hospital absolutely refused. And so they went to a judge. They got a judge to order them on an emergency basis to allow ivermectin again. But even at that point, the hospital said, we will not give it to her. We will allow another doctor to come in here and give it to her, but we will not give it to her. So they had to pay a doctor to carry the pill in and give her the pill because the hospital refused. Now, if he's going to talk about vaccines on his radio program, he really ought to educate himself. He really ought to just take a look at the news. He doesn't even have to educate himself on the science about this. So I'm not sympathetic to this guy who's now become a big critic. He's in critical condition, but he's not in critical enough condition that he can't be singing the praises of the vaccine to everybody, the vaccine that he knows nothing about, the remdesivir that he knows nothing about that is not going to help him. It's only going to damage his liver, possibly. Evidently, he also doesn't know about the people. He says, I really regret this. He says, if I survive this, I'm going to tell everybody they got to get the vaccine. That could have saved me all this problem. Well, obviously, he doesn't know anything that is happening in terms of the number of vaccinated people who are getting sick, the number of vaccinated people who have regrets about how this has destroyed their life, the families of loved ones who died who have regrets about that. Clearly, he doesn't know anything. I have a letter here from an MD. I will not mention his name because I don't want to get him in trouble. He says, I've explained to my family and friends and patients that I expect more death and tears from the COVID jabs than from the virus. Yes. The spike protein is the engineered bioweapon. Whether you inhale it or you inject it, and the evidence is overwhelming. And so he's got a lot of statistics here, which I won't go into, where he says, if you go back and you look at the history of all of these other jabs that people have been given, all these other vaccines. And, of course, this is not a vaccine, by the way, right? It's not. Not in the sense a vaccine for which they have given legal immunity is technically something that exposes you to a weak or disabled part of the virus. And that's not what's happening here. They're not injecting people with this protein spike, What they're doing is they're programming your body to make the protein spike. That's a very different situation. So technically, it's not a vaccine, not in any way, shape, or form. Always in the past, when we look at vaccines, you could compare it as you had people say, well, you know, if we had this kind of approach to vaccines, we would still be suffering from smallpox and so forth. Well, they had the kind of approach to smallpox that will give you a weak or dead version of smallpox back at the time of George Washington. And that worked for some people. Some people, it killed them right away because they weren't very skilled at making the virus, determining whether the virus was weak or dead. So some people just got smallpox and died. But some of the people survived. And that was the basic theory behind it. But then in the 20th century, what they started doing was adding adjuvants. Those are basically immune system irritants. And to add preservatives, because now, just like your food, if you've got big agricultural or big pharmaceutical interests and they want to mass produce this stuff and they want to maximize their profits, then they want to be able to ship it everywhere and have a very long shelf life. So start adding preservatives, start adding things that are going to irritate by design your immune system. And that's really where we started having the big issues with all of these things. But so that was the adulterated. So you could have a discussion back in the day of a clean versus a dirty vaccine. The problem is we're beyond that. I mean, we're not exposing somebody to a disabled part. We're making their body manufacture the most dangerous part, the protein spike. And so now it's a race. When you get injected, can your immune system defeat the other parts of your body that are rapidly reproducing this protein spike? It's a race. Some people lose that race. So he said, you would expect, the doctor, the MD, says you would expect 2-3% of bad outcomes would come from the COVID jabs, but that's not what we're seeing, right? You go back and you look at the statistical data, and it is overwhelmed all the other 31 years' worth of data that we have in the VAERS system in just 6 months. He says, goes on to say, 3 of my 5 children ignored my warnings and took the jabs. My brother, who is also a physician, took it and injected our sister, who died about a week later. The rest are still alive so far. I have 8 grandchildren, and I keep asking my children not to inject my grandchildren. He says, maybe all this is in God's plan. Maybe we need a biblical death and destruction to wake Americans up. To the fraud, I would add, to wake us up to the fraud of what government has become. Israel finds the Pfizer jab is only 39% effective at stopping the Delta variant. And a good question would be, and a question that was asked by one of the listeners, exactly how do they know it's the Delta variant? Are they testing for this? The answer would be no. I think this is a clinical assessment, just like somebody dying with or from COVID, right? How do you know that they died from COVID? You didn't do an autopsy, right? Well, you just say, yeah, I think that's it. Just like at the very beginning, they didn't have the tests. The American Hospital Association said, you're not going to pay us now unless we've got a test data that we can show you. You told us to do a clinical diagnosis. You said you didn't have enough tests, and you said they didn't work. Which now they're saying again. CDC is quietly abandoning the PCR test. We'll talk about that coming up. But they said, you told us you didn't have enough tests and they didn't work. So you said, just do a clinical diagnosis. And now you don't want to pay us that bonus, 25% of everything that we did to the patient while they were in the hospital. Not to mention the $13,000, finder's fee for finding a case. We got a case here. Money that another $39,000 put them on a ventilator. You don't want to pay us that stuff. And see, this is where this has been going. So they've been doing clinical diagnoses of cases. They've been doing clinical diagnoses of deaths. If somebody were to die, even if they drive their motorcycle into a wall within 28 days, well, they died from COVID if they'd had a positive COVID test. That's why some of the people have gone back and said, all right, well, let's run the same numbers with people who have been vaccinated and die within 28 days. Now, we don't know if they died from the vaccine or with a vaccine, if it took that long. We have a lot of people. We have 11,000 people who have been reported, and more than half of those If the trends are consistent with what we saw the first 3 months, we were seeing at that point in time that half of the people who were reported dead into the VAERS system died within a couple of days of taking the vaccine. So that shows a high correlation that should be investigated. But they're not doing any investigation of that any more than they did any investigation of people dying with or from COVID. They're just waving their hands and putting the data in one direction that is the direction that they wish to go. So Israel is finding out that the Pfizer jab is only 39% effective at stopping the Delta variant. Is it the Delta variant, or are they finding out that it's only 39% effective? The basis for which they did the numbers, and remember how phony they were. 1 week, less than 1 week, you know, we had the election on Tuesday. Biden was coronated on Saturday. On Monday, Pfizer said we're 90% effective. The next day, Russia says we're 93% effective. And then the following Monday, Moderna came out and said we're 94% effective. And the very next day, Pfizer came back and said we're 94.5% effective. So you understand that this is just a game of one-upsmanship. They're just making up these numbers. But now Israel, that's had more experience with this than any other country, they moved heaven and earth to get to first place for the Pfizer jab. Basically, what they did was they promised to use all their people as the phase three test group for 2 years. They promised they would give Pfizer that data. Well, here's what the data says. Their vaccine only works 39% of the time. They try to explain it away by saying, well, it's the Delta variant. How do you know? Again, we will just decide. We'll make a clinical diagnosis of whatever is expedient and whatever makes us look good or forwards our agenda. And if you dispute that this is the Delta variant, and if you dispute that the Pfizer jab is not working at all, well, then you're a conspiracy theorist and you need to be silenced. Over the past month, Israel has seen the number of positive COVID tests rising by more than 30 times, as the number of active infections in the country has surpassed 10,000. Again, is this when you take a PCR test and you magnify it to an absurd and irrelevant extreme, and you start to look for any kind of viral debris, and your body is, you've been injected, so your body is manufacturing that viral debris? Do you expect that people are going to test positive for this, even if they're not sick? Of course they are. So, of course, you're having a surge in cases because your body is producing what they're testing for and magnifying, even if you're not sick. Alex Berenson, former New York Times journalist who has is unlike this radio host. He is a vaccine skeptic who is informed. He said that the true efficacy in offering protection against the Delta variant might be even lower. It might be as low as 30%, not 39%. Well, we find out from England that it is only 17% in those over 50. And here is the data from dailyskeptic.org. Public Health England, PHE, shows that the vaccine effectiveness against infection in the over 50s has plummeted to just 17%. How did they calculate this? Well, they said, to calculate the vaccine effectiveness, we need to know the infection rate in both vaccinated and unvaccinated groups. And then they just compare those two. And they can get that data from Public Health England. They publish it regularly. So the latest data, as of July the 18th, shows that 20 million people over the age of 50 in England were vaccinated. 2 million were unvaccinated. And so if you look at the number of cases they got there, you find out that the infection rate in the vaccinated is 0.044%. That means that 99.96% of the people are not infected. And the infection rate in the unvaccinated is 0.053%, meaning that 99.95% of the people are unvaccinated. If you compare those two infection rates, and remember, this is just an infection rate. This is not people who are dying, who are sick even. This is just the cases there. When we talk about people who get something and then they die with it, that's a case fatality rate. But again, remember, the case fatality rates were determined by clinical diagnosis, not by autopsy. So yeah, we did a test, and they tested positive, and then they eventually died. And so, yeah, it's a COVID death. Anyway, you compare the 0.044 versus a 0.053%, and it shows the vaccine effectiveness is 16.7%. In other words, 17%. Well, that's kind of interesting. You know, when we look at this, we had a lady who was in Sweden, and I'm looking for the clip, Travis. I don't see it. The one that is dependent, can you find that? Yeah, let's go ahead and run that clip. Did you think that the vaccine was going to liberate you? Well, here's what she has to say.
Got vaccinated, thought that the vaccination would liberate them. And on the opposite, they're vaccinated, they're dependent on what they call the mutation. They are using this as a gimmick. So they say, oh, every mutation, always with the wrong test. There is a mutation, a new vaccine. So not only people have to make two vaccines now, which is also unprecedented with an experimental injection, but now they have to keep on wearing masks and they have to keep on doing lockdown and distanciation. It doesn't solve anything. They think they're going to travel, but then they will have an ID vaccine passport that will force them to get vaccinated regularly so they can control them more and more, their health, maybe eliminate them with, you know, It's really criminal. So the fact that we see that the plan is done for 2031 in the papers of the government, and you have to look for it, is already a plan. The other sign is that Johns Hopkins University has issued a pandemic plan for SPARS 2025-2028. So they will not stop. They will keep on, as long as people believe, they're going to make them believe SPARS and everything. And every flu is going to be transformed in a drama drumming. So every flu, you're sick and you're going to die. And people are so afraid of death. They think that they give their life risk to people who lie to them. They believe in a government that lies to them. So they're using fear. And those who are fearful and don't change will probably, unfortunately, die. So I'm just, you know, calling people to wake up and take back your health. Don't believe in the government. They are creating a perpetual pandemic. It's an eternal pandemic. This is the worst nightmare of you can have, is to be in perpetual fear your whole life. Perpetual vaccination. So, you see, that's what they want. And they're doing it in front of everybody's nose.
That's right. And, of course, we have known this for a very long time. It's not just that, as you point out, oh, yeah, they've got another Johns Hopkins, always at the center of this and have been from the very first simulation, dark winter, just a couple of months before September 11th. And I continue to go back to that, folks, because this is the other shoe that has dropped. It's the other shoe of the surveillance state, the police state that was ushered in with a false flag of 9/11. But at the same time, you had this false flag simulated. Then they had a false flag the week after the anthrax attack, a week after 9/11. And then 2 months after that, you had the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act, which is they've been training on implementing that based on the first dark winter ever since. And this has always involved Johns Hopkins and the CDC. And Gates has been involved in this. We had two simulations in 2019. We had Event 201, and we had another one, the Crimson simulation done by the Trump administration and bureaucracy. But this is where this is headed. And as she was saying, you know, it's unprecedented that we got two shots. Just think about that. Again, this is not a vaccine. This is a genetic code injection to make your body manufacture something. They presented it as, well, we don't have the time to create the pathogens and disable them or weaken them or whatever. So what we will do is we'll inject the code to make you a vaccine manufacturing facility. That's the way that Moderna described it. So I'll go with their description. And you can censor me for saying that, but that is their description. We'll turn you into a manufacturing facility. A manufacturing facility of what? A pathogen, a dangerous pathogen that will then be spread. And so the fact that you have two shots and the fact that I've had Roy Potter sent me a document going back to 2010. And this is a very well-known approach that the military has always taken to bioweapons. A very fundamental one is a binary bioweapon. We have two different components of it. But that in and of itself should be suspicious to you. And the fact that immediately they say, well, we're going to have booster shots, even before they started identifying so-called variants. And now they say we have all these variants, so that's going to require even more booster shots. As ChildrensHealthDefense.org says, the CDC panel signals support for booster shots, even as reports of injuries and deaths after COVID vaccines near 500,000 just in the U.S. alone. You've got more than 1.5 million adverse effects reported in the European database, and that's only about half the European countries. England keeps their own separate database, just as we do. So you've got three different databases, and just in the European one alone, only half the European countries, you have 1.5 million adverse effects. So, yeah, about 500,000 reports of injuries and deaths across all age groups. This is reported by Children's Health Defense Fund, defense.org, I should say. When you see this across all ages, folks, this is a true pandemic. The vaccine is the true pandemic. Because what we were seeing from these phony numbers coming out from Fauci, even if they were in the CDC, even if they were true, I said all year last year, I said we'd already had 2 weeks' worth of reports from Italy before we began our lockdown. And their report said the average age was 79.5 the first week and 80 the second week. And they said that it was an average of 2 to 2.5 comorbidities of all these patients who were dying. So I said, well, that's not a pandemic. What we're looking at here is a relabeling of the actuarial table. And we saw that here in the U.S. as well. You look at the deaths by age, and it is heavily skewed to, it begins about 55, and it goes up exponentially as you get older, just like you would expect, naturally. That happens to all of us. Because as we get older, that in and of itself is a comorbidity. Because things start to break down, you wind up with multiple things, any of them capable of killing you. That's what comorbidity is. And you put them together, that's what happens as we get older. And yet it was zero, essentially, for anybody under 55. That is not a pandemic. If you go back and look at the 1918 flu, it was equally distributed over the age groups. You had a spike for those under 1 year old, and you had a spike for those 80 and above. But everybody else in between, it was equally distributed. That's not the case with this, but it is for the vaccines. The vaccines are a true pandemic. There's no discrimination by age in a pandemic. There is for this. We're up to... They didn't increase it as much this last week because in the previous weeks, the number of reported deaths had been jumping by 2,000 each week. So I guess they noticed that and they slowed it down a little bit. They only jumped by 400, only 400 people killed this last week by the vaccines, reported to the VAERS report. Here's some of the most recent deaths that are people that have been killed by the Trump-Fauci shots. So I guess we could call these the Trump Fauci murders. A 13-year-old boy who died after receiving a Moderna vaccine. A 16-year-old boy. These are all taken from the VAERS database. Children's Health Defense Fund gives you the case number so you can look it up yourself. A 13-year-old after the Moderna vaccine, dead. 16-year-old boy, dead after the second dose of Pfizer. 16-year-old boy died with an enlarged heart 6 days after getting the first Pfizer. Three 13-year-old boys who died 2 days after receiving a Pfizer vaccine, three 15-year-olds, three 16-year-olds, and three 17-year-olds. We've had 2,127 reported cases of anaphylaxis among 12 to 17-year-olds. 99% of the cases attributed to the Pfizer vaccine. 383 reports of myocarditis and pericarditis, with 379 cases of that attributed to Pfizer. 68 reports of blood clotting disorders, all of them attributed to Pfizer just in this last week. And so what is the response that we're seeing from these people? Well, we now have, as I reported last week, we've got Mitch McConnell, we got Steve Scalise, we have Ron DeSantis cheering this. But I want you to hear Governor Kay Ivey, which I don't know. Does she spell her name I period V period? Okay, so here's OK Ivey talking about how it's the unvaccinated that are to blame for all of these deaths and hospitalizations.
Back here at home, cases are surging.
Oh, and of course,
and
Mika.
It doesn't get much clearer than this.
What is it going to take to get people to get shots in arms?
I don't know. You tell me. Folks supposed to have common sense. But it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks. It's the unvaccinated folks that are letting us down.
But as a leader of the state, don't you think it's your responsibility to try and help get this situation under control?
I've done all I know how to do. I can encourage you to do something, but I can't make you take care of yourself.
Yeah, it's wow, time that,
that
we...
Wow, that is remarkable. Governors are furious. Hospitals are overwhelmed. Oh. The economy is shaky, and yet Americans are still...
It's just amazing. I can't take any more of Brzezinski. Yeah, her daddy helped to engineer all this. You know, we were between two ages in the 1970s, and the technocratic elite were going to be ruling us. They were going to tell us what to do and watch everything that we did. That's what her daddy said. So, you know, when we look at Kay Ivey, I don't know. You tell me what we're supposed to do. It's them unvaccinated that's doing all this stuff. Cue the Beverly Hillbillies. When are we going to start blaming the GOP for what's going on here? That's what I want to know. She wants to blame the unvaccinated. I blame you. I blame you, GOP. Voters who still are worshiping Trump, who want him back in office as if making America Trump again is going to fix all this stuff. Blame Trump. Blame Trump for violating all of the principles of the Constitution, all the principles of conservatives in terms of shoveling tens of billions of dollars to these companies, making nine new billionaires, not to mention how much money their company has. It's disgraceful. Locking this country down, putting us on a communist income, telling us that we're not essential. What Trump did to us is worse than being called a deplorable. To lock you down and say that your job, your business that you've worked on all your life to build is not essential. And you've got people like, again, Ron DeSantis, Kay Ivey, out there blaming people who are not vaccinated, pushing this vaccine, this dangerous vaccine on people. Yeah, they're to blame. And, of course, as you saw, the media pressing her and pressing her, the media that makes all of its money by hawking big pharmaceutical products. Yeah, this illiterate puppets like Kay Ivey and Donald Trump just disgust me. And the people who vote for them and cheer for them. Yeah, it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks. Because only about a third of the eligible people in Alabama, 33%, have taken the vaccine. You know, and Australia is only 13%. I think the heavy-handed police state approach there helped to educate people as to what was really going on in Australia. Of course, it also helps the fact that they haven't really had any deaths in Australia. We haven't either, really. All of this noise and distress about surges here in the United States as Vaccine Impact points out, if you look at their chart, the daily change in COVID-19 deaths, according to their own rigged statistics and numbers, they show a peak going up in January and then rapidly falling off with Biden coming in. And but it's been trending down significantly, and it shows essentially zero right now. It shows that our deaths are about the same as they were in March of 2020. About 500 days ago when this insanity began. But what they did, this whole idea of a pandemic of the vaccinated, there's the chart right there. Good job, Travis. Thank you. The pandemic of the unvaccinated is based, the idea that this is a pandemic, 310 deaths, they said, from the deadly Delta variant from the entire U.S. in just one day, and that was July the 14th. So stop and think about that. Is that true? What that did was that raised the seven-day average for reported COVID deaths from 167 deaths per day to 211 deaths because they added one day where they did a surge, right? Oh, well, we got a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And still, if you look at their chart, it's essentially nothing. Pull that chart back up again and show people that chart. Think about this, that we've had supposedly, you know, it's down to essentially zero if you look at that chart. And they're telling us we've got a new pandemic and we're going to have to even have the vaccinated people mask up. That's what Fauci is now saying. And yet, even if you look at their numbers of about 160 deaths per day, how does that compare to the number of people who would typically die by automobiles in a particular day? It's about the same. 167 versus 106 is what we've been averaging in 2019. Because last year we had a disruption in people being able to drive cars because you're not essential. So 167 versus 106, that's about the same as the people driving cars. You think that they'll tell us that we can't drive cars because they're too dangerous? Oh, yes, that's called Vision Zero. And that's the justification for them going in and tearing down overpasses as part of a so-called infrastructure bill because the overpasses are racist. We need to run people through the towns and through the heavily populated neighborhoods. And then when we do that, oh, then we're going to have to say, well, we can't have cars running through the neighborhoods. So what we'll do is we'll destroy the roads and we'll make sure that we've got multiple pedestrian lanes and bicycle lanes, but only one lane for cars. So they're going to get rid of the cars. You know, we used to have people say, well, just compare the number of shooting deaths to the number of car deaths. And I said, you better stop doing that because these people have, and this was, for the last decade, I've been saying that. I said, yeah, I understand what you're saying here, that you're trying to make the case that we live with risk all the time, right? And we do. Every day is a risk. We don't know any given day what's going to happen to us. We could die any day. But if you're going to start comparing that to cars, they're going to go the other way. They're not going to say, yeah, you're right. You know, we get just as much of a risk dying in a car, so let's leave people alone with the guns. No, they're going to say, we've got to take the guns and the cars. And we got to take your life as well. We're going to mask you and shoot you with a Trump shot so that you're not going to be allowed to live. So 106 people per day typically were dying from cars, and now they're saying we got to lock down all of society now because we're at 167 deaths per day. And yet, how many abortions do we have per day? About 2,400 a day. And yet, we fund those, right? Is this about saving life? No, this is about political power. And as I said, I've never seen anybody more detestable than this former CEO, Liana Wen. Everywhere she goes, she is continually pushing this, and she's doing it again over the weekend. We have, as one nurse has come forward, well, actually two nurses came forward in Canada and more, talking about the murders that happened in the nursing homes. And there were murders. Listen to this. I've said from the very beginning of this that this is financially incentivized malpractice. If you're going to shut down, you've got doctors out there who are doing real science and saying, look, Dr. Zelenko says, I know that zinc is pretty good in terms of handling SARS, in terms of handling various flu and cold. I think it helps with that. Hydroxychloroquine seemed to also work and seemed to magnify the zinc. So it doesn't work if you have HCQ by itself. The HCQ helps your body to absorb the zinc. So I said, so we took a few things like this and put them together, and I started treating people. 1,000 people who came in here who were sick, they never got sick. It cured them. They didn't have to go to the hospital. We didn't overburden the thing. If you were doing medicine, if you were doing science, you would pay attention to that. If you wanted to stop this, you would pay attention to that. If you valued human life, you would pay attention to that. But these people don't value human life, and they want a pandemic, and they also want elderly people to die. Think about it. We have a demographic surge around the world. And where have you seen the most number of deaths? This is, folks, genocide, gericide. You've got a lot of different words that you could use for killing of the elderly, and that's exactly what we've seen. They've got a lot of unfunded mandates as part of these Ponzi schemes of social welfare with a big surge of population with the baby boomers. They're trying to get rid of people. A Quebec nurse testified in accordance with provincial health department directives that her long-term care home administering morphine to coronavirus patients instead of caring for them to prolong their lives. This is on LifeSite News. She said, I'd never seen deaths happen so quickly. She explained the nursing home staff were instructed to give the residents that were thought to have COVID-19 a respiratory distress protocol that included morphine. And they go on to talk about how morphine is clearly indicated, contraindicated, I should say, for anybody who has respiratory issues. And yet, they made that part of their respiratory distress protocol. The Mayo Clinic notes that the common side effects of injected morphine are, quote, difficult or troubled breathing, quote, irregular, fast or slow or shallow breathing, shortness of breath, very slow breathing. So if you got somebody who has a respiratory distress, the last thing you'd want to do is to give them morphine unless you wanted to kill them. And that's what she said. It was part of the protocol. I've never seen patients die so quickly. Quote, you should not take morphine if you have severe asthma or breathing problems. Morphine can slow or stop your breathing, warns drugs.com, a popular reference website that offers free, peer-reviewed, accurate, and independent data on more than 24,000 prescription drugs and over-the-counter medicines. The Mayo Clinic warns this medicine may cause respiratory depression, serious breathing problems that can be life-threatening, especially when used with narcotic pain medicines. And yet, they did it. One of the nurses recalls how her unit's supervisor was anticipating a wave of deaths back in early March. Quote, she was saying, if we have COVID, it's going to empty the LTC. She had 250 death certificates, 250 forms of the respiratory distress protocol. I looked at it and I said, come on now, they're not all going to die. She said, but it was set up ahead of time. Think about that. She's got the death certificates already made up to match the respiratory distress protocol. This is like the nurse that I interviewed years ago, Nurses Against Mandatory Vaccination, talking about how they did the same thing to premature babies because they had a protocol saying that they were going to vaccinate children X number of days beyond their birth. And so these premature babies who were not fully developed, who were under severe stress already, they were going to vaccinate them anyway because it was X number of days after their birth, and they really didn't care. She said they would get the things lined up, and they would tell people, get ready to the ICU because we're going to vaccinate the preemies. That's what these people did at the end of life as well. See, if you don't respect life at the beginning, and you will cheer and you will fund the murder of babies at the rate of 2,400 a day, then you're not really going to care about euthanasia at the end of life. But this is not even euthanasia. These people are dying a horrible death with masks over their faces, struggling to breathe. This is not even Dr. Kevorkian level. This is not a good death. This is a horrible death that they're putting people through. It is medically incentivized or financially incentivized medical malpractice. That's what this is. It's absolutely murder. Another nurse said she saw a resident struggling to breathe. She said staff could not send him to the hospital because of the care level restrictions. The resident's family eventually had to call 911 themselves. They wouldn't even refer them to the hospital for emergency use. The executive director of Euthanasia Prevention Coalition, Alex Schadenberg, said, quote, they should have been smart enough to know that what they were doing was causing death. If you have a respiratory issue, morphine will then cause that person to die. And COVID was something that, of course, they should have recognized it as affecting their respiration. They knew. They knew. We know they knew. And we know that Fauci knew. And we know that Trump knew. And we know that Trump knows now. And he's still pushing the Trump shots. Oh, they're beautiful, right? You keep hearing it from that piece of excrement. Not just a few people died. A few people often die from medical error, but this is a massive number of people in Canada who actually died this way. Thousands, not hundreds, not a dozen. It's horrific. Schadenberg believes these medical decisions explain why Canada had such an incredibly high death rate among its seniors. And despite numerous studies supporting the use of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine as safe and effective treatments for COVID-19, numerous health authorities worldwide have said they shouldn't be used. They punish people who use them. Again, this is not science. This is a total disregard for people's health They do not want to see, and they do not want you to see, and they censor and punish doctors who tell you what they have seen and practiced and how they have saved lives. When you punish doctors who save lives and you push this kind of protocol on people, this is a program of mass murder. And you think about that as they push these vaccines. This is the intentional prohibition of life-saving treatments because they're cheap, because they don't make money. And the Department of Justice here in the U.S. will not probe the nursing home policies in New York, Michigan, and Pennsylvania that killed so many people. This is an article from The New American. Yeah, this is mass murder. Mass murder. People being tortured to death with ventilators and given other treatments that accelerate their death. In New York, nearly 16,000 people died in nursing homes, accounting for a third of all of the counted COVID-19 deaths in the city. In Michigan, 5,700 COVID deaths, equaling about the same, about 29%. And in Pennsylvania, 27,820 Pennsylvanians, about 2,100 of them were under 60 years old. 65% of them were in nursing homes. 65% of the deaths in nursing homes. So, again, we don't know because there was no autopsy done. We don't know exactly what killed these people. I mean, if somebody has a bad respiratory disease and you give them morphine, you are just killing them. This is from a nurse in Wyoming, and I'll just use her first name, Robin. She said, a memo was sent out this week announcing new carrots. Any employee that is vaccinated can get a new employee badge with an insignia showing that he or she has been vaccinated, so we can proudly show that we have complied. And there's more. Anybody who is vaccinated is entered into a lottery. That's right. Whether you're going to get any money or not could go the other way. But they promise that you're entered into a lottery with a chance to win $10,000. Step right up. Yeah. Feeling lucky, punk? So, she said, disappointingly, all the vaccinated employees didn't rush out for their new badge, so the corporation upped the ante a bit. Anyone who complied and got inoculated but refuses to participate in the segregation badge exercise will still need to wear a face diaper. So, yeah. They said, I'm one of the brave, cool girls with a crappy, faded badge, encouraging everyone to stay strong and to resist. A nurse told me about her recent experience after taking the first Moderna jab. She had chest pain and went to the ER, and they determined that she was having a heart attack. And they used Flight for Life to transport her to a larger hospital for treatment. Testing there revealed that she was not having a heart attack. In fact, her vessels were in perfect condition as soon as she was released, but now she has to be monitored by a cardiologist. After she went back to the clinic where she got the shot and she asked if her experience was happening to other people, she was told that they, quote, can't talk about it. See, this is not medicine if you can't talk about it. This is not science if you can't talk about it. This is an authoritarian imposition on us that disrespects our very lives, not just our liberty, our life and our liberty. They come together, you know. Anybody that disrespects and tries to kill one will kill the other. She said, I heard from a trusted source that the corporation is receiving $300 from the government for each employee that takes a jab. Only 30% of us have cooperated, and they're desperate to meet the expectations of CMS with 80% compliance. So that's my value to them, $300? That's right. Think about this. Whenever you have an employer who wants to mandate this to you, right? They view you as livestock. They view you as a slave. And you can do better, quite frankly. You know, we're going to need nurses and doctors who understand what's going on with this. So you can save your life and you might find a new line of employment, because there's going to be a lot of us who don't want to go to these hospitals that care not a fig about our lives. They're just trying to maximize the amount of profit that they can make, who are practicing medicine based on big pharma profits and bureaucratic demands. I want to go to somebody who's going to practice medicine based on what's good for me and do that to the best of their ability. And there's going to be plenty of opportunity Just like we talk about education, you know, there's going to be people who want to do schools. They shouldn't be schools run by the government, but there's going to be people who want to run the school. So if they're going to force you to get a vaccine, if they're going to lean on you to teach critical race theory and many other issues, if they're going to have absolutely no discipline in the schools, I never supported corporal punishment really for being administered by strangers. That's why I don't like schools. But hey, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can roll this. You don't have to work for the big monolithic approach that's coming out of Washington, whether it's healthcare or whether it's education. There are people who want to live outside of the system. And that's an opportunity for all of us. And I just got to say, you know, when I talked to Gerald Celente on Friday, I understand his frustration with this stuff. But I've got to say that the solution is local. Everything is local. That's where the rubber meets the road. I mean, everything else is an abstraction. And we have no leverage. We can try to have common cause and make alliances with people in other countries, but they have to do their stuff locally. We have to do our stuff locally. That means protesting. That means getting active. That means making alliances at the local level. Everything happens locally. We've been losing because we focused at the top. We think that we can elect somebody as president, they're going to fix everything. We think we can elect somebody as president, they're going to fix the problem with the corrupted courts. Isn't going to happen. We have to cut that off at the local level. It's just that simple. And we're going to have, and it's going to be a lot of communities where you have people who stand up for their freedom. Those communities can then try to make alliances with each other, but it's going to be one by one. They're not going to be any kind of global or top-down approach to this. That's where the problems are coming from. We need to understand, as the Democrats have said for the longest time, think globally, act locally. We need to understand what the global plan is and what their tactics are and what their strategy is and what their ultimate goal is. We need to understand globalism, but we need to oppose it locally because that's the only place that you can make any change. And it begins with you, by the way. It begins with you getting your house in order spiritually and then just moving out to your family, to your community, to other things. Anyway, she goes on to say, so they're getting $300. I guess that is our value to them. So she said, COVID tests are being reported daily in staff emails. Yeah, there's no updates about adverse effects from the jabs. Everybody knows there have been many, and I'm sure that they're keeping track. Such blatant manipulation. See, no matter how hard they shut the stuff down, we're going to realize what is happening. As a matter of fact, when you see, and it's very obvious to us how they're manipulating this, that's the thing that's amazing to me, is how they think that they're fooling all of us. Yeah, you can fool most of the people some of the time, or maybe even most of the time, but you can't fool everybody. And eventually, people are going to start to catch on, just as they did in the Soviet Union, to realize that all of the government mouthpieces were lying to them. And already, people become rightfully cynical and skeptical about this stuff. A new narrative is, I have good DNA and a strong immune system. I received them for my birthday from God, and I refuse to have my gifts from God altered with a manufactured RNA concoction. So that's, again, that's Robin from Wyoming. Another email here, and I didn't write down the person's name or if they gave it, said, I live in the Philippines. I'm disgusted to tell you that the official Delta variant is here. What a joke. They're actually starting a count from one case and up, and they're working to track it like that. And here's the key thing. Not really sure how they know the difference between the Delta variant and the regular COVID. They're not doing DNA testing on these things, folks. Just like at the beginning of this thing, for months, they didn't do any testing. They just did clinical diagnosis. They're doing clinical diagnosis, I guarantee you, of this Delta variant. It's a total lie. It's just a convenient excuse for people who are getting sick from the vaccines, for the vaccines not working at all, but actually making people sick. She said the people, whether it's male or female, I'm not sure, people here are completely buying in. They're starting lockdowns all over again. It baffles and disgusts me, yes. Which brings us to the baffling and disgusting Republican politicians. And this is why I say, we're not going to fix this from the top down. As a matter of fact, as Fauci is trying to push masks for the vaccinated, what he's doing is he is pushing this down to the local level, right? Why? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. Fauci understands that. They can make their globalist plans and they can finance it with unlimited amounts of money from Washington and Wall Street. They can bribe governors and public health directors, but it ultimately comes down to the local jurisdiction. And that's what Fauci is turning to right now. We better understand that. More Republicans are urging supporters to get vaccinated. All right, Zero Hedge. We as a Republican Party have decided that we need to be all in on the vaccine, even though we're not sure where our followers are, said John Feehery, a partner at EFB Advocacy. I have no idea what that is, but he is a former Republican congressional aide. This is an article by Zero Hedge. He says there's real political risk in the idea of re-shutting down the country, and I think Republicans don't want to be blamed for it. Well, nobody ever blamed the Republicans last year, right? I kept yelling and screaming and blaming Greg Abbott and Donald Trump for shutting the country down and financing it and putting mask mandates on it. Everybody, it's just the Democrat governors. It's not Trump. It's not Greg Abbott. And if they're doing something evil, they're just playing 4D chess. So don't blame them. They never got any blames last year, so I don't know why they're so worried about it and running scared now. They're not even worried about getting blamed, folks. They're worried about pleasing their real masters, and that's not you. The people who put them in office are not you GOP voters. It's the other people. The people, same people put the Democrats in office. Yeah, we have to understand that we don't have the ability to fight them at the global level or at the national level and win. This is asymmetric warfare. If we try that approach, and that's fine, we can try that approach, and, you know, we have multiple approaches keep them busy there somewhat if we can find somebody that will actually do that. I haven't seen anybody who actually wants to do that. I haven't seen anybody who is running for office who's allowed to run for office by the Republican Party. And, of course, they make sure that you don't have any independents or third parties out there either. And I've seen precious few people in the third parties, like the Libertarians, who really understand what's going on here. They don't understand either. They're even more clueless on most of this stuff than Republicans are. They're so completely out of touch, so focused on cheerleading the supreme rights of corporations that the Libertarians have basically taken themselves out, the Libertarian Party, the capital L, Libertarian. So I don't know how you're supposed to fight this at the national or the global level. I know that the most effective things that you can do is not to fight their battles on their terms. You know, going back to the Civil War, going back to the Revolutionary War, the people who had the most bang for the buck were the people who fought a guerrilla war, who didn't line up and try to pretend like they're the opponent who has overwhelming resources. You don't fight their battle. Look at asymmetric war. Look at what we have seen on all of our foreign wars since World War II, asymmetric warfare. Even though we had a government that had unlimited resources, who had far superior technology, they could do a lot of damage, they could make life hell on earth for everybody, but they couldn't ultimately win. And that's where what it comes down to is that you have to have the will to survive. And if you have the will to survive, you can defeat them. And it may be a long, drawn-out contest. At this point, so many people have succumbed to this psyop that it will be a long, drawn-out fight. But we can win if we don't fight their war. We fight our war. And we understand this is a spiritual war. And it begins with us, and it begins at the local level. So, yeah, we're not sure where our followers are. Did they ever really care? He says, we got to... The Republican Party has decided to go all in on the vaccine, even though we don't know where our followers are. Did they ever care, the GOP establishment, did they ever care where their followers were when it came to health care? No, only at the elections. I mean, we heard that from Trump, and we heard that from other people to get elected, and then they didn't care. They didn't care where their followers were. When it came to open borders, or when it came to endless wars, or when it came to the drug war, whatever, they didn't care what their followers wanted. When it comes to gun control, they're more than willing to implement gun control by degree or by decree, as Trump said with his, oh, yeah, just get rid of bump stocks here with an executive order. They don't care. They don't care what their followers want, and they don't care what the Constitution says. So there's nothing different about this. You know, this is what we've seen under Trump and Republicans, who, again, had the majority in the Senate as well as the White House, and they were the ones who locked us down, who put us on a communist income. They were the ones who told us that we were not essential. They were the ones who funneled all this money into big pharmaceutical companies. They were the ones who built the Trump shots, and if you build it, the Democrats will come and make you take it. In Arkansas, you've got Governor Asa Hutchinson, another Republican, has embarked on a tour of the state to try to convince voters to get vaccinated. Line up. Get your Trump shot. Sean Hannity as well. You know, just listen to this.
Just like we've been saying, please take COVID seriously. I can't say it enough. Enough people have died. We don't need any more deaths. Research like crazy. Talk to your doctor, your doctors, medical professionals you trust, based on your unique medical history, your current medical condition, and you and your doctor make a very important decision for your own safety. Take it seriously. You also have a right to medical privacy. Doctor-patient confidentiality is also important, and it absolutely makes sense for many Americans to get vaccinated. I believe in science. I believe in the science of vaccination.
Except that's not what this is. This is not science, and this is not a vaccine. There he is. Again, it's another one of these ask your doctor commercials, which is how the pharmaceutical companies took over the media back in the 1990s. When they made that legal, I'll never forget, we lived in the early 90s. We moved into a remote area where we couldn't get any TV at all. And at the time, we had video stores, and we had large catalogs of classic movies and things like that. You know, if we were going to watch something, that's what we would choose to watch, not television. And I'll never forget the first time we took a vacation in the mid-90s after all this Ask Your Doctor stuff had started. And we flipped on the television set in a motel room, and there's all these commercials, and one after the other. And I said to Karen, I said, when did this happen? What is going on? I've never seen anything like this. And now, because they became the primary funders of CNN and of Fox News, that's where we are today. Today, what they're doing is they're cheerleading the vaccine, just like the Democrats. Here's de Blasio urging New York City businesses to mandate the vaccines. So they're trying to carve out a little bit of a nuanced difference between the Republicans and Democrats. Don't be fooled by that. If they're not going to oppose the vaccines for what we've already seen them as being a bioweapon, with the kind of results that we've seen from this, any other product would have been stopped a long time ago. It doesn't matter if it's an airplane, doesn't matter if it's a baby crib or a car, any other product would have been shut down a long time ago for safety violations, but they just let it keep going and they deny that it exists as they want to mandate this on us. And so don't be fooled by these Republicans who will say, well, we oppose the mandate, so you ought to vote for us. See, that's the Hegelian dialectic. We're slightly better than the Democrats. The Democrats want to impose this on you, but we don't. Well, that never really was the preferred path anyway. The preferred path, as New England Journal of Medicine pointed out as early as March of 2020, the preferred path was to run this by coercion through private corporations, same way that they're doing the censorship. So de Blasio says, I'm calling on all New York City employers, including our private hospitals, to move immediately to some form of mandate, he said on Friday in a radio interview. He also said that he expects over time that weekly testing will become tiresome and employees will opt to get a shot. So they hope that if they keep you, you know, like Biden said, you'll either get the shot or you'll wear a mask until you do. You'll either get the shot, says de Blasio, or you will take a weekly test until you do. And then they want to make you start paying for the test and punish you that way as well. They keep ratcheting it up, even as we see the number of deaths, even from their own database, dropping down to essentially nothing. They can't or won't even be able to make a case in their own rigged data system for any of this stuff. There's absolutely no basis for this. The mayor was asked about the initiative introduced in San Francisco that will mandate all of its city workers, about 35,000 people, to get the jab. De Blasio praised that move by the San Francisco mayor. He says he's, quote, one of the great national leaders on COVID. De Blasio pledged to do more soon. He said, our goal is to be very aggressive because we got a lot of people to deal with, he said. You see the same thing that is happening in Europe as well. Merkel's chief of staff says the vaccinated will definitely have more freedoms than the unvaccinated. Now, she's going to be leaving office, so she can be a little bit more candid about what the agenda is. And yet you have, just as we see here in America, you have, since she's retiring, you got a guy who is running to take her place in the Christian Democrat Party. And the guy who's running to replace her as the leader of that party said he opposes any formal or informal vaccine requirements, listen, for the time being. Yeah, see the wiggle room there? There isn't any for the time being. You either respect people's informed consent or you don't. This is not a pragmatic. This is like somebody saying, well, you know, I support the Constitution for the time being. I support the Declaration of Independence for the time being here in America, right? They said, in a free country, there are rights to freedom and not just for specific groups. And then he continued, that sounds good, right? Yeah, I'll vote for that guy. Oh, yeah, he'll save us. He'll save us from the other people like him and his party. If Germany's vaccination rates remain too low this fall, he said, other options could be considered, just not now. So in other words, I support and give lip service to your right to freedom until I don't, until after the election. And that's exactly what we're getting from the Republicans, isn't it? Exactly what we're getting. So at the same time, you have the chief of staff for the current leader of that same party is saying that unvaccinated people will be barred from entering venues like restaurants, movie theaters, sports stadiums because the residual risk is too high. Now we have a new thing, residual risk. Well, what is that? CNN is pushing to segregate the unvaccinated and to make them pay for these tests every day. As I just said, de Blasio said, well, we'll test them until they get tired of it. We'll test them until they got swabs coming out of their nose. Oh, wait, it goes the other way, right? So, we'll test them and test them and test them again, and then we'll start to make them pay, says CNN. Make them pay for tests and do it every day, not once a week, every day, which is what I showed you a year ago. You'll have a daily test, and you'll get a little colored bracelet or some kind of identification on your phone or something as your daily pass until you get sick and tired of it, until you cave in to them. Says, we don't know who's vaccinated, who's not. And this, again, is Dr. Leanna Nguyen, the genocidal, homicidal maniac who was the CEO of Planned Parenthood. Anti-choice, anti-human, anti-liberty, Leanna Nguyen. We don't know who's vaccinated, who's not, because it's none of your business. I don't care if you are a doctor, you're not my doctor, it's none of your business. She goes on to say, if you are not vaccinated, you can't come or you can't get a negative test. And that's what's needed in order to really incentivize vaccines at this point, because the only thing that matters to her is vaccines. She doesn't care about life. She doesn't care about liberty. You're going to get the vaccine. You're going to take it now, right? Now, you'll do it now. Well, this is what it looks like. Just take a look at the NFL. Again, I don't care about the NFL one whit. I don't even know who the teams are anymore. They've moved cities and changed mascot names, but I don't care. But this is an indication of where they want the country to go because, as we have seen, the NFL has become the front end of the virtue signaling restructuring of our country. You may have noticed that, right? And so now the NFL, the league, is pushing this on all the different teams. As I pointed out on Friday, they've got a lot of different ways that they're going to punish teams. If you've got somebody that tests positive, they can't play. And if you've got enough players that they shut the whole thing down, and you will have to forfeit the game, and you'll have to make financial restitution to people, that particular team will. So you better get your people vaccinated because they're going to have a different set of standards for the vaccinated as well as the unvaccinated. If you test positive as a even asymptomatically. You're asymptomatic and you test positive. If you are vaccinated, you have to stay out for one day. If you're asymptomatic and you test positive and you're unvaccinated, it's 10 days instead of one. 10 days instead of one. They have different rules for what you can do. You got to stay locked up in the hotel room if you're unvaccinated when you're traveling. Other people don't have to do that. And you can, if you're an unvaccinated player, you can be quarantined simply for being exposed to somebody who is infected. You don't have to test positive. You can be asymptomatic. You can test negative. But if you were around somebody who had it, they're going to still quarantine you. And again, have situations with forfeited games and fines. So the NFL is signaling and showing to everybody how they want all of corporate America to treat their employees. The NFL is now stepping it up. Now, that was as of Friday. Then over the weekend, they keep adding on new rules, regulations, and punishments for the unvaccinated. Now they will fine unvaccinated players for violating the protocol. And you can get a fine of $14,650. Why didn't they just make it $15,000? I don't know. And I guess what happens is, they've even already got the signal, right? The penalty signal. They got the face mask signal, you know. So I guess if you're not vaccinated or you violate the protocol, they got a little guy who's watching you all the time in a black and white pinstripe shirt. And he runs over and he goes, face mask, $15,000 fine, and you forfeit the game, right? They fired a couple of coaches, one at the Minnesota Vikings, as well as this is Dennison. He was the offensive line coach, New England Patriots co-offensive line coach. Both of them said, I'm not getting the vaccine. So they said, you're fired. We're going to mandate it for all the staff. They're still pressuring the players, but every day they're coming up with new prescriptions, not prescriptions, but proscriptions against these NFL players. And so they're getting to the point where they're going to mandate it for them as well. They're mandating it already for the staff, and it's mandated for all tier one staff. That includes coaches, frontline office executives, equipment managers, and scouts. Oh, okay. And so they will mandate it for the players. It's just a little bit of time. Right now they're going to hit them with fines and all the rest of the pressure. And I think they can get them to comply. Italy is going to be rolling out their vaccine passport for everybody who is over the age of 12 come August, just a few days. They're going to have, and again, even if you're vaccinated, even if you have the passport, they're still going to reduce all outdoor sporting events. All outdoor sporting events will be reduced to 50% capacity, even if you're vaccinated. There's no end to this. There's no pandemic. There's no science. But there's no end to this tyranny. That's all this is. It's medical dictatorship, and it is financially incentivized malpractice to kill people. Capacity for indoor sporting and cultural events will remain at 25%, even if you're vaccinated, even if you got your little vaccine passport. Nightclubs and discos will still be closed, even if you're vaccinated, even if you have your little passport. If you do not check in, if you do not enforce this, if you're a business that does not enforce this, then you will get fined anywhere from 400 to 1,000 euros. Whereas in France, you're looking at 45,000 euros and a year in prison. So the penalties are not quite as stiff, but they're still absurd. Penalties are so stiff that in France, this last weekend, you had protesters in one French town. Kind of sounds like the January the 6th protests. They realized that the doors were open in town hall, and so they went in. And when they went in, they tore down a portrait of the official portrait of Macron. That is there, a symbolic gesture that became popular in late 2019 with climate activists who were stealing presidential portraits from 130 town halls across France. So, and I think this is another indication of how this issue is transcending party lines. It is transcending political alliances because, again, at the top, it doesn't matter what political party these puppets claim to represent or what principles they claim to represent. It doesn't matter if they're socialists like Macron or they're supposedly conservatives like Trump or this Kinney who is in Alberta, Canada. It doesn't matter where they are. They could be conservative, you know, the Conservative Party Bojo. Conservative, socialist, communist, it doesn't matter. They're all doing what the globalists want them to do. And so after noticing it left open, these people who had slogans, no to the vaccine, no to the pass, Macron must resign, they tore down his portrait. Yeah, it is getting to be very much like Bastille Day, right? The beginning of the French Revolution. You had, and of course I've had people write me and say, well, Marie Antoinette did not say let them eat cake. Well, I don't care if she said it or not. That was essentially the attitude of the government there. And the attitude now is even worse. They're not saying let them eat cake. They're saying put a mask on them and vaccinate them, jab them. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com. Okay, and I want to just say thank you to some of the people who have contributed. As a matter of fact, I want to say thank you to the people who are unable to contribute, but who watch the program and who pass it along, who pray for us, because all those things are very important. But it is also especially the people who are able to and who do support the program in any size donation. I want to specifically thank some of the people who have been very generous, and I'll just mention, because I don't want to get anybody in trouble in this Marxist gulag environment that we're currently operating in. So I'll just say thank you to James S. in Texas, to Michael T. in Michigan, to Lois L. in Maine, to Kelly M. in Ohio, to Martin in New York. Thank you to all of you for your generous contributions, as well as Ed, who said, join listening to your podcast and make an effort to tell people about your podcast. There's a lot of different ways that you can support us. Many people have asked if cash is safe to mail, and a lot of people have used aluminum foil, taped it inside of a note, a lot of different things like that. I think it's to the point now where I think the post office doesn't really expect anybody to send anything that way, so I think they're kind of let their guard down in terms of those who might want to intercept it on the way, Newman and other people like him. I got a humorous note from someone in terms of the COVID jab. I'll read you the other idea that he had in terms of how to respond to people who want you to take the mask on another day. But I especially liked his 10, well, actually he's got 20 of them. You might take the COVID-19 jab if you think that a cytokine storm is climate change. You're out of money for donuts. You think the health department is one floor up from the lingerie department. If a 99.98% survival rate scares you. If you think that myocarditis is an Italian opera. Well, that would be carditis mio, I guess. Mia. I love this thing, right?
Or if you would rather never take what they call horse medicine, right? If you think cognitive dissonance is a musical term, if you've never been dead before. The Facebook says, too, if you voted for Biden, if you voted for Trump, if you would vote for Fauci, you just might take the COVID jab. If you think that genocide is a book in the Old Testament. Yeah, we're starting to resemble genocide chapter 6 is what we're starting to resemble. You think that constitutional is something people do right after breakfast. If you think that human rights is a political party. If you don't know the difference between doublethink and thinking twice. Oh, I like that one a lot. I like that a lot. If the word stupidity offends you, but you're okay with ignorance. If you're compelled to prostrate yourself every time you hear the word science. And if you think that genome is the backup band for Foo Fighters. I like that a lot. That's Dan Herzog. He said I can use his full name, so people already know me. So good job, Dan. I like those a lot. I might have to read those a second time someday, put them up. So we got to get the website up in general, and I want to start posting articles because I really do need to summarize some of this stuff. There's some perspectives on this that I haven't heard anybody else saying, and I think we really need to get these things out, and I need to put together a catalog that is not like this satire list, but there are a lot of reasons for why you should not take this thing. And I need to put these things down. I might just put that up. I'll let you know if I put that up on Roundtable Report, where we used to post articles as well as video clips and a little bit of a description about it. Because I understand a lot of people do not have time to watch videos. I don't have time to watch videos. If I've got a video that I really want to know what's in it, I first get a speech transcript of it that's pretty close. And I'll scan through the transcript if it's not on YouTube. YouTube provides that for a lot of different videos. But I can read a lot faster. Even if I listen at times two speed, and that can get a bit dodgy, I can read a lot faster than that. And so I understand that. So I need to make some of this, put some of this stuff in a written format to get the information out there. Let's take a look at what's happening with masks, because now we've had a new move into this. And, of course, I'll cover the masks before I talk about what's going on with the CDC abandoning the PCR tests. Isn't that amazing that they would abandon the PCR tests? But let's take a look at the masks and what Fauci was pushing this weekend. And we have a clip of Fauci saying that new mask guidelines for vaccinated Americans are under, quote, active consideration here. Because, you know, it's a Delta. We got a Delta. You know, it's just funny to me because always that was just kind of shorthand when we were doing math and engineering. The Delta was the rate of change or whatever. So they're changing things, right? That's so convenient that they call it the Delta variation. But here's Fauci as he's being egged on by fake Jake Tapper to talk about how we got to mask up all the vaccinated. And remember that chart I just showed you, you know, how it went up and it peaked and then it's down to essentially zero. But no. Everybody's got to be afraid. Got to be afraid again, even though they don't even bother to produce the numbers anymore because they so gaslighted everybody with fear. They didn't have to cook up any phony statistics. They just have Mr. Science go on and tell everybody this kind of nonsense.
We only have a little time left. I want to ask you, sources are telling CNN the top health officials are weighing whether to revise mask guidelines for vaccinated Americans. Are you part of those conversations? And if so, what are you advising? Do you think masks should be brought back for vaccinated Americans?
You know, Jake, this is under active consideration. If you're asking, am I part of the discussion? Yes, I am part of the discussion. But I think what you are seeing, even though as of our conversation at this moment, the CDC still says and recommends that if you are vaccinated fully, that you do not need to wear a mask indoors. However, if you look at what's going on locally in the trenches in places like LA County, the local officials have the discretion, and the CDC agrees with that ability and discretion capability to say, you know, you're in a situation where we're having a lot of dynamics of infection. So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask. That's a local decision that's not incompatible with the CDC's overall recommendations that give a lot of discretion to the locals. And we're seeing that in L.A., we're seeing it in Chicago, we're seeing that in New Orleans, because the officials there, many of them are saying, even if you're vaccinated, it's prudent to wear a mask indoors. So that's a local decision.
All right, Dr. Fauci, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. Coming up, they can't even seem to...
Okay, so you hear that. He's moving to local. That's what I'm saying. We know we're on the right track because that's where he wants to attack us, locally. And I've said throughout the entire year, I said, local is more important. I said, if you're going to bother to vote, make sure you inform yourself about who the candidates are locally, because the presidential race does not matter nearly as much as the local race. You know, Trump sat by and did absolutely nothing to help us. He did everything to harm us. It was not even, we didn't have a candidate to vote for, not third parties, nowhere at the top. But I said it does make a big difference who is going to be there at the local level. Even if you've got a local official or more local officials who are trying to use the local public health dictators to mandate this stuff, it still can't be done unless they've got the sheriff on their side, and that's an elected office. So again, make sure that, you know, if you're in a city, they got a police department. The police department is not elected. They're bureaucrats who report to the politicians who hire them. So, you know, get out of the cities and make sure that you've got a sheriff who is going to stand for your liberty. The local officials can make things better or worse for you. That's where it all happens. The local officials can make it better or worse than what the governor wants or what the president wants. The president is funding it from the top down. The states are funding it from the top down. But it's at the local level, and that's what Fauci knows. That's why he's pushing this so hard. Again, he said, we're talking about bringing back mask mandates, but doing it for vaccinated folks. That's under active consideration. Well, of course it is. Well, who would think that Fauci wouldn't want to bring back the Faucis? He loves the mask. He wants Faucis for everybody, every age, everywhere, everyone wearing a Fauci. Doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not. I mean, this is beyond Bill Gates' immunization agenda 2030, the IA 2030. Everyone, everywhere, every vaccine, every age. I mean, that was his thing. Everyone, everywhere, every age. And implied in that is every vaccine. And yet Fauci wants this for everybody, regardless of your vaccination status. He wants you to be masked. So his is, I guess he's got a MA 2021, his masking agenda, 2021. Mask for everybody, everywhere, every age, everyone masks. And it doesn't matter even what your vaccination status is. This is the science, right? Yeah. As he's talking about this, you heard him say it. If you look at the inflection of the curve, if you look at the new cases here, we got a surge. We got a surge, we got a curve, and so we got to have the vaccines. And he prays, he's trying to do damage control still after the attacks of Rand Paul. It's going to be real hard for him to do that because, you know, the truth is the truth, folks. It's pretty simple. It's as plain as the mask on your face, isn't it, that he's lying. Fauci praised scientists at the Wuhan Institute of Virology and defended his funding of bat coronavirus research, says Zero Hedge. Yes, no problem at all. You know, we intended to do that, and we know they intended to do it. Meanwhile, this is a great reference for you folks. LifeSite News had a long list of studies that was put together by a researcher, and they have 47 studies that confirm the ineffectiveness of Fauci's masks for COVID, and another 32 more that confirm that they have negative health effects. So we're talking about 79 studies. 47 of them say they're ineffective. 32 confirm that they actually damage your health. As they point out, prior to face mask mandates as an alleged preventive, such masks were infrequently worn in hospitals and other medical facilities. They were only used in operating theaters or for visiting seriously ill patients in order to prevent infection from spit or droplets into open wounds. If you're doing surgery and you're standing right over the patient, you don't want to have droplets falling there. So that's what they used it for. But remember, I pointed out this very thing all of last year, and I even pointed out a 2002 study out of Australia where they said, if you wear this mask, this N95 mask, for more than 20 minutes, it gets so saturated with droplets that it's not effective anymore even for that. So this has been going on for a long time, but he's got a lot of new studies that he listed here. Again, 47 studies say that they're ineffective. Another 32 confirm they have negative health effects. So they were only used in operating theaters, only to use that to stop spit from falling into an open wound. And so they said, for decades, if not longer, staff wearing medical masks were an uncommon sight in healthcare facilities, other than, as mentioned, no studies were, and we all know that, if we are weren't born yesterday, but evidently a lot of people were. No studies were needed to justify this practice, since most understood that viruses were far too small to be stopped by the wearing of most masks, other than very sophisticated ones designed for that task, which were too costly and complicated for the general public to properly wear, and that you would have to keep changing or cleaning constantly. The types of masks that you would use in a, maybe a bioweapon facility where you're mixing coronavirus with bat DNA to create a chimera pathogen or something. It was also understood that long mask wearing was unhealthy for wearers, just out of basic common sense and science. But of course, the public has now been turned, this is my comment, the public has now been turned into an ignorant, angry mob by TV propaganda, mostly from Mr. Science. Mr. Science. Yeah. It has also continued long after it was discovered that COVID was not nearly as dangerous as many were led to believe. These mitigation policies have caused serious damage of all kinds, including many deaths. The unnecessary and greatly exaggerated fear during the first few months of this pandemic would never have been labeled even as a pandemic until the WHO unilaterally changed the definition of a pandemic to include much less dangerous pathogens. It has been manipulated to continue to this day, they point out. So the person who put all this together for LifeSite News is Paul Elias Alexander, PhD. He wrote an article that is also on LifeSite that summarizes the most prominent and damaging lies, but I really like this study about the face mask, especially now that Fauci and the CDC are pushing for local tyrants, because that's where the orders have to be enforced. Again, if you don't have a cop who's going to enforce these orders, you got nothing. You know, Macron can say, we're going to fine you $45,000 and put you in jail for a year, but if they don't have a cop who's going to go around there and do this, or some kind of a bureaucracy is going to do that, then it isn't going to happen. And notice how there is no due process, there's no trial by jury, because jury nullification would also stop this stuff. Don't tell me that you wouldn't have one out of 12 jurors shut this thing down. There are far more than 8% of us who are opposed to this, and all it takes is one out of 12. If we had due process, none of this stuff would be an issue. We lost juries a long time ago, and we lost the understanding of jury nullification a long time ago. We've had judges who for decades have been lying to people about all this stuff. But anyway, getting back to this, here's just a few of the studies. I'm certainly not going to go through all nearly 80 of these. But this first one was done, and what he has is he has the, on this article, you should see this article, it's a great resource. He's got a brief summary of it. He's got the title of the research. He's got a link to it if you want to see the whole paper. And then he's got a quote from it that kind of summarizes it. And he does that for all 80 of these. One of these, surgical mask, cloth face mask studies. This was done by the CDC itself. Community and close contact exposures associated with COVID-19 among symptomatic adults greater than or equal to 18 years in 11 outpatient healthcare facilities in the U.S. This was conducted back in July. And all of these that I saw were pretty recent studies. None of them went back to, for example, 2002, where there was no politics involved in it. People were just straight up looking at the efficacy of masks, even in a surgical environment. So, yeah, they're not really all that great. And a lot of our doctors don't even wear masks in a surgical situation, they said in that Australian study. But the CDC in this particular study showed that 85% of those who contracted COVID during July 2020 were mask wearers. Only 3.9% never wore masks. Think about that. Under 4% never wore masks, but 85% wore it religiously. Facial protection for healthcare workers during a pandemic, a scoping review. In this particular study, they talked about more robust evidence is required on different types of medical-grade facial protection. But the conclusion was that the COVID pandemic has led to a critical shortage of medical-grade PPE and that all the other forms of facial protection offer inferior protection. Physical interventions to interrupt or to reduce the spread of respiratory viruses, another one, quote, there is moderate certainty evidence that wearing a mask probably makes little or no difference to the outcome of laboratory-confirmed influenza compared to not wearing a mask. That is coming from the published at the NIH's NIH.gov site. Disposable surgical mask for preventing surgical wound infection and clean surgery. In 2016, I'm sorry, not in 2016, they had a total of 2016 participants. No statistical difference in infection rates between the masked and the unmasked groups in any of the trials. Another one, for disposable surgical face masks. A large trial, there was no difference in infection rates between the masked and unmasked groups. You start to see a trend here? Yeah, a trend of 39 of these, as well as, I'm sorry, it was even more than 39. It was 47 of these, totally ineffective. 32 more said it actually is a negative health effect. Aerosol penetration through surgical masks. Although surgical mask media may be adequate to remove bacteria exhaled or expelled by healthcare workers, they're not sufficient to remove sub-micrometer size aerosols containing pathogens. That would be viruses. If you go back and look at the history of microbiology, you see that it took them a while, even after they discovered bacteria, it took them a while they would see people that were getting sick with viruses, and they would say, well, it seems like this is got a vector of contagion like a bacteria, but we can't see anything. You know, they didn't have the technology to be able to see anything that small. And, you know, they still don't have the technology to be able to filter it with a mask. Isn't that interesting? Another one, taping your mask to the face only provides a small improvement in protection. And that study published on NIH.gov. I like this particular one. I'm almost done here. Exercise with a face mask? Are we handing the devil a sword? Quote, exercising with face masks may reduce available oxygen and increase air trapping, preventing substantial carbon dioxide exchange. The hypercapnic hypoxia may overload and increase acidic environment. It may create cardiac overload, anaerobic metabolism, and renal overload, which may substantially aggravate the underlying pathology of established chronic disease. In other words, you're cutting off oxygen and you're increasing carbon dioxide. And if you increase the acidic environment, that is going to accelerate cancer, many other diseases. You're going to overload your heart. You're going to overload even your kidneys when you're doing that type of thing. Bringing back the mask mandates, however, is what they're focused on. And even reason is saying it's pointless. It is pointless virtue signaling, they said. The Biden administration, says Reason, is already preparing the public for the return of COVID-19 mitigation efforts. They're in talks with the CDC to reintroduce mask mandates and social distancing requirements. That's what the PR flack, Mr. Science, is doing there with Jake Tapper. They're pushing this on everybody. We know that they're coming back with this. We know they're coming back with it during the fall and winter season. And they are continue to escalate all the penalties for this, even though they can't make the case that they've got a pandemic at all. They're not even trying to make the case anymore with numbers because they don't have to. They have CNN and other outlets, and they have social media censoring people. And this is interesting because Reason has been such a big cheerleader, especially this reporter, Robbie Soave, who constantly writes about vaccines for Reason. I mean, they just love them. They're the save vaccines are going to save the world, according to Robbie at Reason. And so these types of people who are true believers, who trust in the savior vaccine, who believe in it, they trust in it, they trust their life to it, they're very upset and very puzzled about this. And see, that's the good news. Even the people who are hardcore about this, many of them are starting to see that this is just an agenda. Reason was very slow to back into that, right? They did not want to oppose it on that basis. But now it's an inescapable conclusion, just as it is for a lot of these talking head comedian puppets. And people like Noah Trevor and people like Stephen Colbert are very useful for them. I mean, that is, ridicule is the most effective weapon, said Saul Alinsky. They know that. And that's why these people are focused strictly on politics. They're not funny anymore at all. They're just propagandists. And they do ridicule. But even they are looking at this stuff and saying, this doesn't make any sense. Remember Trevor Noah saying that? So many people were saying this, that's when they started relaxing things. And that's when Dr. Leanna Wynn was saying, you can't do this. You've got to keep the stick, beating them with the stick. Otherwise, they're not going to take the vaccine. Nothing matters to her other than you taking the vaccine. She doesn't care about your health. She doesn't care about any other health issues that you might have that would be contraindicating you taking a vaccine. None of that stuff matters. Because when your priority is public health, you don't care about individual health. And when your priority is making sales for the vaccines, you don't even care about public health, let alone individual health. So Reason Magazine says the most effective COVID-19 mitigation strategy is vaccines. See, they love the vaccines. But mask mandates, on the other hand, largely function as a form of signaling. And I would say that may be why they're bringing it back. Because they know that there is a certain segment of society, the people who are still, there's a lot of people out there who are so afraid that even after they got vaccinated, they're wearing the masks. They know that they can go with that. And they know that it will be a not just virtue signaling, but it'll signal to them, the people who are mindlessly obedient to these mandates for the Trump shots and mandates for the Fauci's on your face. That'll be one way that they can determine who they are versus who the rebels are, the Rebel Alliance. And you'll also be able to tell them because once they get in your, you know, close to you, you'll hear them gasping like Darth Vader as they're trying to breathe. They said in Reason Magazine, if you've had your COVID shots, the mask is basically Team Blue's version of the Make America Great Again hat. So I guess we could call it, I like the Fauci, but you know, we might want to call the masks Make America COVID Again. Right? Because we just want to live under a state of perpetual pandemic, even if there's no reason to support that. None whatsoever. There's a story coming out of England. Listen to the way they came after this Church of England minister. WND has a story. They said, according to members of his congregation, he had revitalized this Church of England congregation, which, by all practical purposes, nobody's been able to get a pulse out of anything at the Church of England for decades. But nevertheless, he had maybe revitalized it somehow. He's now being ordered, however, to leave his church as well as vacate his home before the end of July. Why? Because when you have a... And this is interesting. I just recently learned, as we were talking about the Southern Baptists and the state of the Southern Baptists in terms of embracing critical race theory, in terms of embracing homosexuality, in terms of embracing intersectionality, all these different things, and you see this fight that was happening at the Southern Baptist Convention, that it's not actually a denomination in the sense that a true denomination will have, just as you're seeing here with the Church of England, they will own the church property, they'll own the house that the pastor lives in, so they have a financial, they've got them by the short hairs financially. And that's how they roll this stuff through. And it becomes a very big point of contention. You see, like, for example, in the United Methodists, you have some congregations that did not want to go along with lesbian pastors, for example. And so they wanted to get out. And it's like, all right, well, then you owe us millions of dollars or whatever. And but people just have to, again, this is, that is another example of how we cannot allow ourselves to be blackmailed financially into obeying these rules that should not be obeyed. But again, getting back to the Southern Baptists and the fight that's going on there, it's a convention. And the idea that although most people think of it as a denomination, they don't, you still have the congregations are still autonomous. They come together and pool their resources to do things like missions or whatever. And they come together based on a shared doctrinal statement, which is now being stretched to the point where it's not going to hold together. That's the real takeaway. But they don't have the type of thing like this guy is facing where they're going to kick him out of his home. Why? What did he do? Well, he sang a hymn without a COVID face mask on. And so the higher-ups in the Church of England are going to kick him out. He also hugged a mourner at a funeral. And he returned some Bibles to the church after they'd been removed because they could be touched. You know, you don't touch anything, right? Well, that's not science. That's been debunked from the very beginning of this. From the very beginning of this, back in March of 2020, you had a German scientist who went through. They said, well, you know, we got everybody in the family here, in this one particular family. They tested positive. They are, in fact, sick with something. So he went in, because this is a good example, he tested everything, couldn't find it anywhere. And yet, we have all of this Fauci says, Simon says, superstition that we've operated under for the last year. People afraid to get out of their car and pump their gas or to touch the gas pump. I've watched this for the last year. It's eased up a little bit, but still, even here in Texas. So he had Bibles that could have been touched. He hugged somebody at a funeral, and he sang a song without wearing a face mask. Why? Because he has an exemption. He has asthma. He has asthma, and you can die from that. I had a cousin who died from that. She wasn't wearing a face mask. And my father always struggled with asthma. After the Easter service on Sunday, and again, Easter, you're going to have people who they go maybe once, maybe twice a year. We'll go Christmas and go Easter, and some little Stasi noticed him singing a song on Easter without a face mask and reported him to the higher-ups, and now they're going to kick him out. They reported him to the archdeacon, who went to his home and told him, clear out. He says, well, I'm shocked that one of the allegations against me is that I brought Bibles into the church. This is where you separate the sheep from the goats, boy, folks. This is a good thing, actually. During the pandemic, due to government guidance, churches and their congregations have become places of division, he said, and of fear. Instead of places of prayer, refuge, worship, outreach, and hope that they should be. So they pointed out this is a critical moment for the Church of England, because they said 65% of the churches, listen to this, this is how it's going to disappear in one generation anyway. 65% of the churches of Church of England churches in the UK do not have children. You see that? Do not have children. You will have, as this is a common thing, if they still had any Bibles in their churches, they would have noticed a common thread going from Moses to Jesus, saying that there will be a revival, and the sign of revival, when there is revival, the sign of the revival will be that God will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, of both parents. It was always assumed that the mothers always had their hearts turned to the children. That's no longer the case. Not even the mothers in our modern society really have the children's interests at heart. And so the sign of revival of not just spiritual revival, but the revival of the country would be when the fathers, who are typically directed outward, away from the home, they're out there trying to earn a living, they're directed toward their career, whatever, but when they become focused on the well-being of their children, that's when you'll have revival. If you've got a church, large denomination, Church of England, where 65% of the congregations don't have any kids in them, that is the path to extinction. It'll happen very quickly. And it happens because they don't have things like the Bible there, right? What is the point of a church without a Bible? Absolutely none. It's kind of like a country without a constitution, isn't it? You don't know what you believe. You don't know anything about the God that you worship. You don't have the Bible. You know, this is why it's absolutely paramount. Anyway, they said Fauci was trying to spin on the bat stuff. It's pretty amazing to see the way that he was spinning this. But I want to stay on the parental stuff before I tell you what he had to say about the bat coronavirus over the weekend as well. So it was his pronouncements about the mask mandate. And I got one more thing to say about that, and then we'll take a quick look at what he said about the about Wuhan. In California, they're also falling in line. Gavin Newsom and the others are falling in line with this mandate stuff. They have two parental advocacy organizations are now opposing the idea that children should wear masks to school regardless of their vaccination status. You see how ridiculous this has gotten? We're going to go in and we're going to expose a demographic group that has absolutely zero risk to this virus, as the CDC has been telling us for over a year. They have zero risk. We're going to expose them to the risk of an experimental emergency use authorization vaccine, for which there is this part of the population which the government has never made the case, even tried to doctor the books to say that there's an emergency. So we're going to expose them to that. And then even after they get vaccinated, now we're going to still force them to wear masks. Do you see how sadistic this whole thing has become? It's just total sadistic agenda, just sadism here. The groups are called Let Them Breathe and Reopen California's Schools. And what they said was it's clear that the health department, this is the Reopen group, they said it's clear the health department has chosen to ignore overwhelming evidence that show that children are at very low risk from being infected with COVID-19 and transmitting it to others or becoming seriously ill from COVID-19. This is a Reopen group. And yet, what do we see? We're seeing Geraldo Rivera, Kathleen Sebelius, the HHS flunky from Obama administration, saying, you're going to kill our grandkids. Both of them saying the same thing. Where did that come from? They flipped the whole narrative. You know, a year ago it was, you're going to kill the kids. We've got to lock down the kids because they're going to kill grandma. You're going to lock down grandma or take special precautions for grandma. No, we're going to lock the kids down and we're going to lock down grandma. And now, even though for the last year they've shown there's no risk to the kids, now they're saying, if you're not vaccinated, you're going to kill my grandkids. And I'm not going to let you do that. So we're going to punish you in every way that we can think of. And we're thinking all the time about new ways that we can coerce and intimidate and punish you and fine you. Reopen California Schools founder said, a return to normal school year is crucial to the mental and physical health recovery for our students across California who have endured months of isolation and a majority of who spent last school year entirely in distance learning. Well, this is where I disagree with them. Because, look, putting somebody in isolation, social isolation, is harmful. And it's amazing to me to see the educational establishment, which for the longest time tried to create a straw man saying that homeschool kids were totally socially isolated, and now enforcing a social isolation that is orders of magnitude worse than any situation I've ever seen with any homeschool family. Saying you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. That is very unhealthy. But so are the schools. I'm not on board with reopening the schools. I want to keep the schools closed. Let's let the kids free. Let's understand that the schools are not healthy. They're not healthy physically anymore. They're not healthy mentally. They're not healthy spiritually for your kids. You can do better than this. And that's what I'd like to see people putting their efforts in. Finally, before we end with the medical stuff here, and that is Fauci's defending himself against the Wuhan situation. Listen to this. From the liar, Fauci. Yeah, it was to try to determine what was out there in the bat population that might ultimately be risky for us. That's why he did the chimera. That's why he did the gain-of-function genetic research that so many people criticize them for, that they were prohibited from doing in the first place. This is why they funneled the money out to China. Yeah, yeah, the gain-of-function stuff. It was just to find out what was going on in the bat population. We knew it was just a matter of time before those guys got us anyway, right? And the food market. So he said it was done by qualified people, according to him. right? Anybody that works for him, they're qualified. And he said, right now there's all this stuff about China. Well, it was a different situation back then, he said. You were dealing with highly qualified and respected Chinese scientists. And he goes, so it isn't what it's made out to be about dealing with really, really bad people, because these scientists were, notice the past tense here, they were very well respected. What happened to make sure that they're no longer highly regarded scientists, the best in the world, right? Well, it's the stuff that he was funding. Their own website, NIH's reporter, said that the agency did provide $15 million to Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance with $3.74 million towards understanding back coronavirus emergency. We've known this for over a year. They've got it on their own site. In May, Fauci denied that the NIH funded gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab. But, you know, hey, it's just the devil's in the details. And, of course, this guy is, even though he's not a scientist, even though he's not a legitimate doctor, he is a consummate liar. We'll be right back to talk about a Stop the Steal update. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project, to make sure the commoners own nothing, and the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.
All right, and let's talk a little bit about the update on Stop the Steal. Let's call it that instead of January the 6th, because it really is about the theft. It's not just about the theft of votes, which is committed by both Republicans and Democrats, because we would not have had as crooked a election as we did if we hadn't had the lockdown, of course. There are many, many aspects of this that are totally being ignored by the Trump organization, by the MAGA crowd, by the Make America Trump Again crowd, that have been there for decades, including who is allowed to run, who is allowed to be in a debate. And it goes through the counting of the votes. It's only been exacerbated by things like mail-in voting, lockdown elections, and electronic voting. All of that stuff has to be taken out. But what they do is they want you to focus simply on one electronic voting machine company. Let's take a look at how the money is being used, of course. And this was my issue with this from the very beginning. First, it was the lies that began immediately after the election. Things like Steve Pachinik saying, oh, yeah, this is a sting. We've got blockchain watermarks, ballots, and we've already sent out 20,000 troops, and the arrests have already begun. Remember all that stuff? That was 2 days afterwards. I was like, this is ridiculous. It's absurd. I wrote about it. I put stuff on social media about it. I talked to other people at InfoWars about it, but they doubled down on it. They doubled down on it, tripled down on it. And it was all about raising money. And I said, well, you know that people are going to realize that this is a lie pretty soon, Alex. But he wanted to go that way, and he's been able to continue to tell that lie and to spin that lie. And just as he's defended Trump and the vaccines all this time and seems to not have bothered the people who are following him at all, just like it doesn't bother the people who follow Trump. If you follow Trump, and excuse everything that Trump does, that gives you an audience, that gives you money, and that seems to have worked, and it also seems to work for Trump. His Political Action Committee, now this is since this year, since this year. So first of all, and the lies about what they were going to do, and I said, well, first of all, there's not really anything that you're going to be able to do legally and get this thing done. I said from the very beginning, they're not even going to listen to you in court. And guess what? They didn't. They didn't get their day in court. They didn't bother to try to get a different slate of electors sent by these Republican legislatures. All of the time deadlines just flew past without anything being done. And then we found that Trump's PAC before in 2020 had raised $250 million. And that virtually all of that went to Trump and to the RNC. Because if you read the fine print, it said that you had to give, until a person exceeded $8,000, all of the money went to Trump and the RNC. If you gave $8,001, the $1 would go to fighting the election fraud. But the other $8,000 would still go to Trump and the RNC, and they would split it. $250 million. And now we see from the beginning of the year that the Trump PAC has not used any of the additional $75 million. So it's $250 million last year, a quarter of a billion. Now $75 million so far this year to help to fund election audits. And not any of it has been used to help to finance election reviews. None of it. They've used some of the money for Trump's travel expenses and his legal costs, as well as some staff pay, but none of it is going to fight the corruption or the election. Meanwhile, on the other side, you've got Pelosi, as she excluded people who would be on the other side of their rigged kangaroo court investigation of what happened on January the 6th. She excluded two of the people that had been picked by the Republicans, and they were very effective spokespersons. So now she says that she has a plan to appoint Adam Kinzinger and possibly Liz Cheney in their place. So this is nothing other than this whole commission, this January the 6th Select Committee, is nothing other than a rigged process. But listen to what she has to say. And see, have a, well, I won't suggest the drinking game that they have. But, you know, if you took a drink every time she said the word bipartisan, you'd be drunk at the end of this paragraph here. We have in the work of our bipartisan committee that we have now, the Select Committee, led by Chairman Thompson, bipartisan participation, very courageous Congresswoman Liz Cheney. My confidence is high. We must act in a way that has no partisanship in it. It's all about patriotism. I'm very proud of the members of the committee, yada, yada, yada. Okay? George Stephanopoulos, a political hack himself. By the way, many of you may not realize that George Stephanopoulos was, he had a high position in the Clinton administration. It's been so long, I've forgotten exactly what it was. But I think he was a spokesperson, like Psaki is. For Biden. But anyway, he was a high-ranking official with the Clintons. George Stephanopoulos, now an ABC anchor, because, you know, that's the qualifications for getting on mainstream media. Will you be appointing more Republicans to the committee, like Congressman Adam Kinzinger? She said that would be my plan. Well, when will that be announced? Well, perhaps after I speak to him. She hasn't even spoken to him. And so Stephanopoulos is suggesting that to her. So this is a rigged process. By the way, an update on the person they like to call in the press, the QAnon shaman. He has, his lawyer says he's in a plea deal because he's now been diagnosed with schizophrenia. I don't know. Maybe he can't decide whether he is Fred Flintstone of the Loyal Order of Water Buffaloes or if he's the most dangerous threat to the U.S. empire. But he does think that he is related to both Buddha and Jesus. This is what Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, the Fred Flintstone from the Loyal Order of Water Buffaloes, this is the guy that they want you to think is the most dangerous threat to the U.S. government that we've ever seen. Even more dangerous than the imagined threat of the people who took down three buildings in New York with only two planes. These guys are even more dangerous, right? Absolutely. You know, transient schizophrenia, they said. Mental condition deteriorated. And I thought it was just reprehensible the way that he was used by Alex Jones to try to inoculate Alex from these other criticisms at the very beginning. But we've had a federal judge, as PJ Media points out, this is their headline, federal judge throws a monkey wrench into the Capitol riot prosecutions. It isn't really that much of a monkey wrench. You know, they had allocated over $6 million for one of the big four accounting firms, Deloitte, to go through and to organize a database and to help them get their records straight at the Department of Justice, because I guess they don't have anybody at the Department of Justice that can handle any records. They can't put together a spreadsheet or database or whatever, so they got to go hire an accounting firm. First of all, the amount of money that they're talking about, $6 million being applied to this, is just staggering. When you consider that this, you know, what they're worried about, again, is a guy who is wearing a water buffalo hat and got his body painted and thinks that he's connected to Jesus and Buddha. So to protect us from that dangerous threat, $6 million to create a massive police state investigation. The judge, however, has ruled that they can't do that. Not to say they can't use that $6 million for other things. He just says, well, you can't hire a private organization to do this because they don't have the, essentially a private firm contracted by the government is on a non-exclusive basis. It's private rather than public. And you're going to be exposing data about this to a private organization that ought to be kept within the government. So he sees it as kind of a violation of the way the investigation is to be participated. But that doesn't mean that anything has stopped from all of this. I don't see this necessarily as a victory, because the judge says now the Department of Justice staff will just have to do it themselves. What he's saying is you're all highly compensated individuals who work for the federal government. Can't you figure out how to do an investigation on your own? You have to hire a big accounting firm to do this? I mean, it tells us when we look at the amount of money that was dedicated to this, $6 million, and the fact they're going to bring in an accounting firm, it tells you how broad they're going to cast the net. You know, they will do it one way or the other. They'll just go to Congress and say, well, we just need to hire more people instead of doing it through a private contractor. That's all that's going to happen. There needs to be something to stop this. And, of course, they're not doing anything to stop it. Instead, you know, you're going to wind up with, and I don't know how it's going to work out because, you know, this is George Stephanopoulos and Nancy Pelosi conspiring about how they're going to run this committee when McCarthy, who is the House Minority Leader, said, well, if you're going to kick out these two that are going to ask serious questions, then none of us are going to participate in this. Now, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger don't pay any attention to the Republican leadership. But the other three that are there, and they had five Republicans, the other three that are there may not show up. So they're going to run a commission with only two Republicans. We'll have to wait and see how that happens. But again, they're not addressing any of the fundamental issues. And this is the problem that I had with all of this stuff. The fundamental issues of 2020 were the lockdown. And that was a fundamental issue as to what happened with this election. All of that is being ignored. It was ignored as we had the runoff in Georgia, that they would not change anything. So they're still not focused on even discussing what the appropriate problem is. And that's the key thing. You know, it's important for somebody when they're running for office to make a connection to the voter base to show that they agree with you on what the problems are. You know, this is what I see as problems and need to be addressed. And then the people can say, yeah, I agree. That is a problem. He understands what the problem is, so let's vote for him. That's what happened with Trump. But then when you run for re-election, you actually have to show that you did something about those problems that you were talking about instead of doing exactly the opposite. And that's the problem with the GOP, why they've lost all their credibility, why, frankly, Trump has lost his credibility as well. But let's take a look at the investigation side of this. Again, Jonathan Turley, jumping in on this story that I talked about last week of this FBI special agent, wife beater, who is now looking at up to 10 years for allegedly assaulting his wife with intent to do great bodily harm. He beat her up. He tried to choke her. Big guy. Showed you the picture last week of him wearing, ironically enough, a wife beater T-shirt. And, you know, showing his muscles because he was running, I don't know if it's part of his cover or whatever, but he was running a gym. So he's preening there with his muscles and his tattoos and his wife beater shirt. Drug her to a swinger thing. She didn't want to have anything to do with it. So he got very angry, beat her up and choked her. And so now he's looking at up to 10 years into this. As Jonathan Turley says, the arrest of an FBI agent would always be newsworthy, except now this is the guy who was key to running this plot to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer. And the plot was envisioned, organized, implemented by the FBI, as we've now seen. Half the people were involved were the FBI, and the other half were a bunch of useful idiots that they could manipulate, people who were homeless, who were mentally handicapped. They could manipulate to make themselves look like heroes, and we've seen this over and over again from the FBI, but what's particularly troubling about this particular instance is it was the template for January the 6th. And again, as I said from the very beginning, I said it before it happened. I said it the day that it happened. I said, you're going to see agent provocateurs from the government. They're going to stage something, and then they're going to use that to come after each and every one of us because of our political beliefs. And that's exactly what is happening. Millions of dollars being put into a committee to investigate all this stuff because it was all staged. And whether or not the Trump Organization was a part of this, and the people running the Stop the Steal were a part of this, whether or not that's the case, they enabled it. Whether they were knowing participants and agent provocateurs themselves, or whether they enabled it. That's the one thing that people won't talk about. You had great investigation by Revolver talking in detail about the unindicted co-conspirators, how many of them there are, and how this all looks exactly like what happened in Michigan, and how the person who ran this in Michigan and it originally was all focused on invading and taking over and storming the Capitol building there in Michigan. That guy who put it all together, who created the conspiracy, it was all a conspiracy and a false flag. They took that guy and moved him from Michigan because he did such a good job, and they moved him to Washington just before this stuff, to put this stuff together. It is a smoking gun, quite frankly. The crime, as Jonathan Turley points out, the crime would never have occurred without the involvement of law enforcement officials. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about why the CDC is quietly abandoning the PCR test for COVID. Imagine that.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
All right, and welcome back. Let's talk about what is happening now with the PCR test. Imagine this. I've been telling you for the last year, magnify it to a cycle threshold of 40, and it's absolute nonsense. You're magnifying it by a factor of a trillion. Fauci himself had said that cycle threshold of 40 is 2 to the 40th power. He said that himself, well, if you go above 2 to the cycle threshold of 30, which is 2 to the 30th power, that is not going to give you anything that's realistic. And he was criticized for doing the same type of thing back during HIV by the guy who invented it, Kerry Mullis. He said he'll look into the camera and lie to your face. He doesn't know anything about this test that Mullis had won the Nobel Prize for. And he says he doesn't know anything about science either. But they ran this whole scheme shortly after Kerry Mullis died. So now here we are, and they're finally admitting it, that they're going to start moving away from the PCR test. And, you know, you already had, in Florida, you had Ron DeSantis talking about the fact that he wanted to have all the labs report what the cycle threshold was. So they're not reporting that. And we had the CDC already earlier this year saying we're going to have a different cycle threshold for people who are vaccinated than we are for people who are unvaccinated. And they were going to magnify it. I remember correctly, I think it was 5,000 times more magnification for people who were unvaccinated than they would for people who are vaccinated. At the same time, they put that out. They also said, we're not going to count anybody, even if, you know, we detect something at 5,000 times less magnification for people who are vaccinated. And even if they're very, very sick, we're not going to count them as a case. We're only going to count them as a case if they test positive with a lower magnification and if they are in the hospital or die. That's the only time we'll count them as a case. However, for the unvaccinated, we'll continue to test at the absurd cycle thresholds. Now, Ron DeSantis had tried to stop that. And again, you know, we'll applaud the things that he does right, but don't trust him because he's another one of these people who is applauding the vaccine, telling you that that's going to be the path to life. It isn't. He's lying to you, and he's pushing something that by this time he ought to know how dangerous that is. He's trying to walk a fine line and straddle the fence with these things. But he did push to have the labs report what the cycle threshold was of every COVID test that they were doing. And now we have the CDC putting out this new statement saying, and they put this out, a level is a laboratory alert to all individuals performing COVID-19 testing as of December the 31st, 2021. So they haven't enacted this yet. You know, we're still 5 months away from the end of the year. It's getting pretty close, isn't it? It's funny how fast this year's gone. CDC will withdraw the request to the FDA for emergency use authorization of the real-time PCR diagnostic panel. In preparation for this change, the CDC recommends clinical laboratories and testing sites that have been using the RT-PCR assay select and begin their transition to another FDA-authorized COVID-19 test. And so as they report this in Zero Hedge, they say, well, the question is, who benefits from this, right, as part of the healthcare industrial complex? It's surprising to me that they say, well, there might be somebody else that is doing this, but they didn't pick up on the fact that you had George Soros and Bill Gates jump in last week with a major buyout of an alternative testing facility, testing kit, I should say, not facility, testing kit. And so I think that's what they're transitioning to. This isn't a mea culpa. This is a qui bono, right? Who benefits from this? And this has always been about lining the pockets of the people who, the corporations who are controlling our country. It's also been about killing people, but, you know, they always want to make their money off of this as well. The CDC will, one of the reasons that they gave for this was they said that their real-time PCR tests cannot distinguish between SARS and the flu. Think about that. If this PCR test cannot distinguish between SARS and the flu, how can it distinguish between SARS-CoV-2 and the SARS-CoV-2 Delta variant or the Lambda variant, right? How does it do that? Again, that's the question of the day. How do they know it's a Delta variant? Their PCR tests cannot even distinguish between COVID and the flu. So how can they distinguish between one variant of COVID and another? The whole thing is a stinking pile of fraud. It really is. Meanwhile, 2.1 billion pounds in the UK alone, 2.1 billion pounds wasted on useless PPE, five times higher than the official estimate. And go back and remember, as this whole thing was happening, how we got used up one side and down the other by the Chinese on PPE equipment, right, and sales. How they ripped people off, how they shipped out substandard protective devices that aren't protective at all. We were completely checkmated by China and the globalists under Trump. Life and Death and the Age of Fear is a headline from Economic Prism. And, you know, I'm not going to go into the article. I'll just say that over the weekend, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but the Tomorrow War, we hadn't watched a movie for a very long time. We thought, well, you know, the news is just kind of a popcorn movie. And it was. I mean, it had plot holes that were big enough you could drive a tank through. And the characterizations were kind of cardboard. But the one thing that I thought was interesting about it, it was a big budget film. You know, they put a lot of money into special effects, if not into screenwriting and plot. They had big name stars like Chris Pratt in it. And it was supposed to be released last year, but it didn't have a theatrical release because we didn't have theaters in 2020. Still don't, really, for all effective purposes. So Amazon paid the film producers $200 million and put it out on Amazon. And so my takeaway from it that I thought was kind of interesting was, and I'll just give you the general premise and not give you any plot twists, although there's not really any plot to it. It's just a bug fight type of thing, but with some time travel thrown in. But the basic premise, and you'll know it if you even watch the preview trailer, is that there's some kind of a out-of-control alien-type of creature that is just eating everything, destroying humanity. So they're all going to be killed in no time at all. And as the movie begins, the people who are 28 years in the future in 2020, because it begins in 2022, send back a crew of people to recruit individuals to time travel forward to help because they just don't have enough people left to fight the invasion there. And they're shipping people forward who have absolutely no training. They're not physically fit. I mean, that's kind of a joke, but it was, in a way, what they were doing was predictive programming for our woke military, right? I mean, they had people who were old. They had people who didn't know which end of the gun to point at the aliens, basically. I mean, it wasn't that they didn't show it quite that bad, but it was essentially that bad. People who, and they shipped them there without even giving them any basic training whatsoever. They were just shipping in appetizers to the aliens, essentially. The Chris Pratt character had combat experience, and so things turned out a little bit different for him. Nevertheless, the thing that really stuck with me was the absolute panic of people as they realized the war was losing, being lost, who realized that they didn't have a future in 28 years. And I thought, just stop and think about your general audience here. You know, how many of us are going to survive 28 years in the future? Do you ever think about that? You know, when I watch a movie, a lot of times I'll think, and of course the movies that I like to watch, everybody's dead already. You know, just going back a few years, go back 28 years, and all the people that starred in the movies for the most part are dead. I remember when we brought Hannah back from China, we would show her a lot of Bing Crosby films, wanted to keep her away from anything edgy and get her some English experience. And then she found out one day that Bing Crosby was dead, long dead before she was ever born. And she was just heartbroken. She says, "Bing Crosby dead?" And she's barely speaking English. And said, "Yes, and this other person and White Christmas is dead, and so is this one, and so is this one." She goes, "All dead. All dead." And that's basically the movies that I watch now. That is the situation. But in this particular one, his character, he finds out, is going to be dead in 7 years in the future anyway. It's one of the reasons they pick him to go forward. So they don't have any kind of You don't meet yourself in the future type of thing. And so even though he's young and healthy, he's going to be dead in 7 years. We don't, any of us, know how long we're going to live. So why are we so fearful of this and thinking that if we get the vaccine or we do this or we do that, or, you know, this is the thing that I've watched with curiosity over the last year. And I saw it in that movie, how everybody freaked out when they were essentially given a upper limit on how long they were going to live. Well, you know, we all have that upper limit. And that upper limit, even with the COVID, has been right at the average age of where everybody was dying with COVID. They were dying at the upper limit of about 79 or 80 years old. And, you know, for fortune and good health, we might live a little bit longer than that, but that's not expected. And none of that is guaranteed. Just like the main character, we might die in 7 years. And so why are we seeing all this fear? And why are we seeing this misplaced emphasis on what can save us? You know, I mean, I look at this and I, from a Christian standpoint, and I know that people very upset about the fact. I get the news reports. As a matter of fact, I put this out on Twitter this week. This guy was very upset with me. He says, I do wish you'd managed to leave your religious faith out of your presentations. He says, I believe in God, but I have no religious preference. Every time I hear it suggested that Christianity is the only true religion, it is not, he said. I am driven further away from my sense of duty to our country. So what? Is your country going to be here in 28 years? You know, it may disappear before your 28 years up. Anyway, he says, give this some thought. If you disagree, I'll simply stop listening. Well, you know, he doesn't like the direction that the country's going and the rest of this stuff. He talks about censorship and everything. And yet, what I wrote back to him, and I won't read the whole reply, it's up on social media if you want to see it, both Gab and Twitter. What he doesn't realize is that he's embraced the very values that he doesn't agree with. He's embraced the idea of the cancel culture. And I think the takeaway from all this is to say, and I tried to explain to him that, you know, you don't understand that, you know, when you say, well, I think that, you know, there's all these different religions and they're all just fine. It's like, well, you're kind of like the people who've embraced postmodernism, because that is a fundamental tenet of that, is that there is no absolute truth. And once you accept that there is no absolute truth, once you believe that there is a God, but that all these different religions are saying exactly the opposite thing of each other, that they're all true, that everybody's got a truth, everybody's got a religion, and their religion is true to them, so that means it's true. That is the fundamental basis of posthumanism that's been used to shut down our society. It's been used to push all of this racism, this Marxism, this critical race theory, all the rest of this stuff. So you bought into the very philosophical premise that has shut this down. So the answer is not to run away from all of this and say, I don't want to, you know, what is truth? There is no truth, right? No, you should be investigating to find out what is true, just like you ought to investigate these vaccines and find out what's true about them. But for the rest of us who have done our homework and have investigated this, we need to not be ashamed of this, and we need to not be intimidated by this, because I don't really care if somebody cancels me, and you shouldn't either. If it's true, it's true, and you ought to stick to it and not back up to it. We look at a bus driving people to Kosovo from Germany crashes. 10 dead and 30 injured. Case in point, right? How many people died in this one bus crash in Germany? More people than have died in Australia as they're going back into a lockdown. This is how fear, divorced from truth, divorced from rational thought, this kind of misplaced trust, this misplaced belief is destroying us. Again, Australia reported its first COVID death of 2021, and General Salenti pointed this out on Friday. You know, they've had one death, and they've locked the entire country down to 25 million people, and that was as of 2 weeks ago. They had a single death. And yet you just had, in one tragic accident, 10 people die, 30 people severely injured. How many people have died and been severely injured by these Trump shots? So when we look at this, we had over the weekend, I'll just mention this real quickly. Over the weekend, everywhere except in the United States, we had massive pushbacks against this global totalitarianism that's now been ushered in under the pretense of this fake pandemic. You have Australians scuffling with police at freedom marches. The freedom marches have been banned, even as they're now extending the lockdowns in Sydney. You had only 176 cases, and again, these are infections, not deaths or anything, in all of Australia. 25 million people. You got police in armor and on horseback attacking unarmed people in crowds, beating people, putting, as we've seen over the last year, putting masks on them. Sydney police have fined hundreds of anti-lockdown protesters. They said that their behavior was filthy and risky. There's one picture here of a guy. This looks like straight out of Blazing Saddles. It looks like he's punching the horse. Looks like he did punch the horse. That one right there. Zoom in on that, Travis. That looks like this guy punched the horse. Just like Blazing Saddles. But it's not just Australia. It is happening all across Europe. In Australia, in Milan, Italy, in London, in France. You know where it's not happening? In the land of the free. We don't care. And I'm not saying that people need to get out and violently protest this stuff. I'm saying that what we need to do is just live our lives and ignore these people. We need to focus on what is happening locally. And the best way that we can shut this thing down is to refuse to obey this. But we also have to get focused locally so that we don't wind up with jackbooted thugs who are going to come out and beat us or to use some kind of sophisticated crowd control. And that's the other thing that they've kept in the wings and not showing people. The very sophisticated and ruthless crowd control techniques that they have. In France, they're shouting liberty as 160,000 marched against the vaccine passports in France. As one lady said, I thought we won the war. And yet what you find is that you have the same identity papers that were enforced by the Germans under French occupation. You had to show identity papers everywhere that you went. Well, that's because these people are Quislings. That's because they have sold out to the globalists. And, you know, it's amazing to me to see, as we look at these globalist organizations, whether it's the Bilderberg Group or whether it is Davos, how they're run by these old Nazis. You know, the Bilderberg Group, they had their first meeting 10 years to the day after the final victory by the Nazis at the site where they had their final victory. That's where the Bilderberg Hotel was. If you look at the movie, A Bridge Too Far, that's where they had their final victory. And you know who pushed that there? People, first there was a British guy who was one of the ones that held back the tanks moving forward, which allowed them to have that victory. And Prince Bernhard, who many believe was a double agent for the Germans, telling them that Operation Market Garden was going to be there. These Nazis have been brought in, literal Nazis. You know, talk about Goodwin's Law and all this stuff. They were brought in to run these bioweapon programs as part of Operation Paperclip. And they're the ones who have been at the very center of this worldwide plan. We need to call this out for exactly what it is. That's it for the broadcast today. Thank you for listening. And don't forget where you can watch us and hear some more information about where you can find us at APS Radio and other outlets. Thank you.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.